We're going to call to order the special joint meeting for the Gover Beach City Council and Improvement Agency for Wednesday, June 1st, 2005. And roll call, please. Here.
Here.
Councilman Boardman Lieberman.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chair Versal.
Here.
Mayor and Chair Shaw.
Here. This brings us to public communications. Any member of the public may address the council slash agency for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item described in this agenda. The council slash agency will listen to all communications, however, in compliance with the Brown Act, and we cannot act on any items not on the agenda. Is anyone who would like to address the council and agency during public communication? Okay. Thank you. One thing that I did, it wasn't on the agenda, and I was remiss. Let's have a flag salute. Can we be led by Eve Bird on a flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I apologize for that. This brings us to a public hearing. This is item CCIA1 on your agenda if you are following along. This is the proposed fiscal year 06 budget. And I believe the Administrative Services Director, or is it the City Manager, who will be giving the staff report? Okay, Ms. Chapman, you're on.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, before you tonight, we're going to be reviewing the fiscal year 06 proposed budget. Earlier this evening, I put all of the PowerPoint presentations that are going to be given by the departments to you, along with some change-out pages for the capital section. There was a problem, a glitch in the capital section, and you now have replacement pages for that section. First, what we were going to do was do an overview of the budget as a whole. Steve, can I get the PowerPoint to work? Sorry about that. First of all, we're going to talk about revenues. We're assuming the information in the governor's May proposed budget for the state is what is going to be going. We have a loss of revenue to the city for ERAF shift that's going to be approximately $126,000. And an increase in the property tax that you'll see. There's an increase in the property tax line item in the budget, but that's due to the state's triple flip. And there is a decrease in sales tax and motor vehicle license fee also that was traded for, I'll put it as traded for sales tax, but it's actually traded for the property tax. Basically, we're going to try to concentrate on doing a few things well this year. We're reconsidering how we deliver service in order to provide the best service at the lowest cost. We're allowing the staff to focus on doing what it does well by focusing on opportunities. The staff found that the community would benefit from a more systematic delivery service approach, particularly with regards to public works. Vacant authorized positions were scrutinized for opportunities to generate savings. There's proposed elimination of positions. The first one is the police officer for the general fund. There is a police officer that's grant funded. In order to eliminate the police officer for the general fund, you have to first get rid of the grant officer. The grant funds would in turn be used for overtime for the police department. And the project manager that was contracted in last year's budget has been eliminated in this year's budget. There are proposed positions in this year's budget. There are two part-time employees to provide staffing for the South County Skate Park, and the Parks and Rec Department would take over operation of the South County Skate Park. And we would be transitioning in the Administrative Services Department from a part-time work-study student to a part-time staff assistant. We had an extremely difficult time this year. We ended up getting but one phone call off of our ad, and the person would not have worked out for work-study for this year. For economic development, some of the proposed projects in the fiscal year 06 work program are the Beachfront Lodge and Conference Center, the Grand Avenue Storm Drain Design, the PD Overlay Zone, Zoning Ordinance Update, the Concept Plan, Appraisal and Property Disposition, visitor-serving specific plan for a total of $262,500. Infrastructure, upgrading the city's public infrastructure. We have for water, proposed budget includes over $2.1 million to address substandard facilities and water conservation. For the wastewater or sewer fund, proposed budget also includes nearly $750,000 in proposals to upgrade the sewer system. Stormwater, over $500,000 in storm drainage system improvements are proposed. Pedestrian, a proposal of $72,000 for sidewalks on the west side of North Oak Park Boulevard and over $55,600 in CDBG funding for ADA sidewalk ramps. Streets, proposed budget includes appropriation to improve the intersection of North Oak Park Boulevard and West Grand Avenue, speed awareness signs on North Oak Park Boulevard, and nearly $400,000 for local street improvements. Funding is also proposed to complete the pavement management system to assess and catalog the status of streets, each street segment in the city. Benefit increases that we're seeing in fiscal year 06. We have substantial PERS increases, which total $158,081 for this fiscal year over last fiscal year in PERS costs. And we have a total increase in medical for the medical-only portion of the health benefits of 9.5% this year, which is substantially lower than it's been in previous years of an increase. We're looking at possible future revenue sources. One of them is to update our business tax certificate fees. The ordinance is extremely outdated, but it will take going to a vote of the people in order to update the business tax certificate ordinance. We're looking at possible new revenue sources, a safety assessment district for fire police, non-injury accident fee for police reporting to the scene of an accident. Currently, San Luis Obispo is looking at this option. Also, administrative citation process for code violations and any others that staff may come up with to bring forward. The list of cuts that were made voluntarily by departments for their general fund, it was substantial. First of all, is city management department, which cut 6.79% of its general fund budget. For legislative, training and education was $2,500. Services other, $11,500. Contingency for the Mayor and Council Member Institute, $3,500. Contingency for the League of California Cities City Manager Leadership Team Workshop, $8,600. Under general management, marketing and meetings, $4,600. Human resources, there was supplies, office supplies of $100, subscriptions and publications of $100, marketing and meetings of $900, training and education of $700, advertising and notices $2,000, miscellaneous fees and charges $500, services medical $2,500, services other $2,000, contingency education $200 for a total in the city management department of $39,700. Cuts made by the Administrative Services Department for the general fund were 4.41% of our general fund budget. For general accounting, office supplies of $500, supplies data processing of $600, dues and memberships $100, subscriptions and publications $700, marketing and meetings $900, training and education $1,600, printing and copying $100, miscellaneous fees and charges $700, services administrative $200, contractual obligations of $10,000. For risk management, office supplies of $100, supplies data processing of $100, supply safety of $300, subscriptions and publications $100, employee recognition $300, training and education of $1,200 for a total of $17,500. For the community development department, they cut 3.7% of their general fund budget. For facility maintenance, it was supplies other of $700, supplies custodial $2,000, telephone $100, utilities natural gas $500, utilities water $3,500, waste disposal of $3,000, services maintenance $14,000, maintenance of facilities $4,000, maintenance of equipment $2,000, for streets, services other $3,000, for a total for community development of $29,800.
Excuse me, Kayla?
Yes.
the basis of these cuts, was this made from the full year projected budget for 05, or was this made from the requested column in the budget?
These are cuts of items that have been in the budget in years past. And when we were balancing the budget, we were having a very difficult time balancing the budget this year, and we asked staff to make voluntary cuts, and we had to make some hard decisions.
So again, were these based on actuals, or were they based on the column where department heads requested
items? It was based on looking at last year's budgeted columns.
Actuals.
And what we were doing was we looked at what actuals have been for the last few years. Where could we trim?
Okay, so it's based on actuals.
And doing comparisons.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Parks and Rec Department cut 5.23%. For recreation, it was supplies office of 100, supplies software of 100, supplies other of 200, dues and memberships of 200, employee recognition of 200, services miscellaneous of 300, services education of 22,600.
What is that?
The services education is what is paid to the instructors for classes.
Okay. So you put on less classes?
They have not used the full amount that's been budgeted in the past.
Thank you.
Supplies other 300, and for community services, supplies other of 100 for a total of $24,100. For the fire department, it's 3.15% of their general fund budget. Supplies software of 1,100, supplies other of 300, supplies custodial of 200, marketing and meetings of 500, training and education of 1,100, utilities natural gas of 100, utilities water 100, community and city relations 300, maintenance of equipment 300, equipment purchases 1,200, for fire operations, supplies other 400, supplies safety 100, operating supplies and tools 300, dues and memberships 300, subscriptions and publications 200, marketing and meetings 200, services other 900, contingency training $12,800, equipment purchases $3,600 for a total of $24,000. And lastly, for the police department, they cut 3.41%. For police administration, supplies office 100, training and education 900. For police operations, salaries and benefits for one full-time police officer, $77,900. Supplies office 700, supplies data processing 1,300, supplies software 1,500. Supplies other 1,000, contractual obligations 14,500, equipment purchases 3,100, for investigations, training and education of 600, communication records, printing and copying of 500, community and city relations of 500, services miscellaneous of 1,000, for a total for the police department of $103,600. As a note for the full-time police officer positions that are proposed to be eliminated, there has not been anyone staffed in those positions in over 3 years. So it's not cutting anyone that is here. It's cutting positions that have been vacant for 3 years. And these were very hard cuts for the departments. The departments are going to be running extremely lean this year.
Can I ask a quick question? Both in the police department and the in administrative services, there's contractual obligations that are cuts.
Yes, that was put in the budget probably 3 or 4 years ago. We had an extreme amount of sales tax collection by the company that monitors sales tax for us. We get reports from them, but if they collect sales tax that is misallocated and they find it before we do, they get a percentage. And there was 1 year to where they ended up collecting something like $12,000 in misallocated sales tax. It has not been that high since. So we felt very comfortable in moving that number down for possible misallocated sales tax.
And the police department?
For their contractual obligations,
yeah.
That's the DARE program, the officer that we were contracting with for the city of Arroyo Grande.
So, in effect, we're eliminating that contractual obligation.
Yes.
Just cutting back on it.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Total citywide general fund cuts are 3.9%. The salaries and benefits was $77,900. Supplies and services of $160,800. For total general fund cuts made by departments of $238,700. And that basically concludes the overview.
Thank you. Does anyone else have questions of Ms. Chapman's presentation? I think there were some budget assumptions in there. I think you talked about PERS increases. You talked about future revenue sources. I'm wondering if anyone up here had any questions on that and if we, as a body, agree with the assumptions that were made in putting together this budget. Councilmember Lieberman.
Thank you. You saw me with my mouth dropped open. Gayla, going back to Parks and Recreation, the services education cut of $22,600.
Yes.
So we assume that projected revenues or fee recovery was reduced by that amount. Well, if we're not going to pay out as much, we're not obviously going to offer the class load.
Correct.
Okay. And, John, you talked about assumptions that went in the budget, and I assume we're going to get into this in more detail, but we were talking about the proposed capital plan in previous meetings and bonds and multimillion-dollar infrastructure projects, and I hope that we spend some more time discussing that because I'm still not comfortable with it being a
manager in the community development.
No one was ever hired. That person was spread basically through several departments. It wasn't just community development.
And you're also eliminating two in the police department.
Correct.
Okay. My question is, there was money budgeted, I imagine, for all these positions. They were just never filled. Whatever happened to that money? Was it used for something else?
In some cases in the police department, it could have been used for overtime. It could have been AT'd down for overtime. I would have to do an analysis. I have been
putting
the budget together, I could not answer that question at this time.
So technically, I guess if we're using the money for something else, it's not really found money, is it? Newfound money. It's the money has been used for something else. Otherwise, it's not like mysteriously appeared on the scene here.
For the fiscal year 05, yes, it could have been used for something else. Okay. But for fiscal year 06, we're proposing eliminating the funds.
Thank you.
Did you want to add something to that, City Manager?
Yeah, as just exactly what Kayla said, that the funds in this year may have been used for a different purpose. For example, we hired a chief negotiator to assist in SEIU negotiations. Some of the money that we had appropriated for project manager was administratively moved into that line item in order to be able to expend that.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Verso.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor, I'm wondering if it wouldn't be worthwhile to take just a couple minutes. Maybe the city manager could give us a kind of a rundown on how this budget's going to be presented to us tonight. I kind of expected the first thing we'd hear was how we're going to proceed and what our expectations are tonight and tomorrow night. And I'd sure appreciate that, so I have some idea of where we're headed.
Certainly.
That's a great comment.
The past several years, what we have done is had the individual department heads present their budget or even folks perhaps lower in the organization than a department head present the budget. I guess before I got here, it was primarily presented by the administrative service director, but I'd like the council to be able to talk to the folks who are going to actually administer the budget. I view the budget as kind of a contract among the city council, the city manager, and the department directors that are asking for approval of the budget. I see the resources in terms of people and dollars that we're asking the council to approve as being part of that contract. And what we're saying is we'll deliver a work program that we try to identify in the budget document for the city council. And that work program, as we build the budget, we try to address those issues that you have raised for us in adopting community goals. What we're going to do tonight is to proceed department by department as listed on your agenda. So the fire department would be first, then police, then Parks and Rec, Administrative Services, City Management. We have some aspects of the budget where there are nonprofit groups. If you They may be represented here tonight. Community Development Block Grant, or Community Development Department, then Community Development Block Grant, about the capital improvement projects and the special activities on a project-by-project basis. The dollar amounts and the funding sources you already got in your budget document, but the individual detailed description of the projects are contained in that document. We're hoping to be able to pass that out tonight, and so it may be better for you to be able to go over that information tomorrow or in our overflow day, I think, is the 15th. And then tomorrow, it is specifically noticed for you would have the ability to adopt the budget in concept and also to consider the water rate increases, and Parks and Rec's got some proposals with regard to adjustments and fees that you'd also be able to look at. So in a big picture sense, that is what we had intended. We're flexible and can react to whatever council would like us to do.
Okay, so let me just see if I understand you correctly. We've got an overview, and on the agenda you had listed out the various departments, and you had intended for us to it was your recommendation that we follow that order is what you were looking at. I'm curious to know if everyone put together a cohesive presentation. So, because the reason I'm asking that question is if we decided to take something, let's say, in a different order, you know, as I'm reading through the budget, I see there are different departments rather than jumping all over in this document. I think I'd kind of like to go by the tabs, and so that I don't know, does anyone have any energy one way or the other? Do you want to go with the staff's recommended order, which would be fire, police, park and rec, administrative services, city management, community nonprofit groups, community development, CDBG, final recommendation and allocation, utilities, the improvement agency, and then capital improvement projects. Do you guys want to leave the order the way it is?
Just notice that Johnny are here.
What was that?
Mr. Dunn and Ms. Biagini are here.
Oh, they are here, so. You're suggesting that, so maybe we take this out of order?
I'm very flexible. I just noticed we had some visitors in the audience that are probably here too.
Okay. Well, then, I think let's finish our discussion on the budget overview. I think there's some real issues on assumptions, and we need to make sure that we're comfortable with that. I know it's going to be kind of some overlap, but I think we really need to talk about the assumptions and the revenue enhancements. You know, I have down here that you were talking about business tax code, and then you talked about a safety assessment district. There's also discussion about the bond and some other items in here that, you know, I think we should talk about and see if we're comfortable with those assumptions.
The revenues are just things that staff was planning on looking at. We would like your direction as to if any of those you feel are something that we should start working towards.
The budget as proposed is not dependent on any
some additional revenue.
That's correct. Okay. You gave us direction to come back with. You looked at the 5-year capital improvement plan and for utilities, and you told us what things you wanted to leave in, and to come back with a budget that reflected those assumptions. If you still want to leave those in after you hear the presentation from Mr. Tuckfield tomorrow night, then there would be an amendment to the master fee schedule would be necessary for water, for example. Kathy has some proposals about fine-tuning Parks and Rec user fees, and they are consistent with what we have presented in the budget. Most of those are fee reductions, and in some cases they're just rounding off.
Thanks. And one other thing, in regards to the possibility of a fee for storm sewer use or something of that that nature coming down the pike. We're uncertain right now exactly how that's going to proceed. I'm assuming that our budget, as it's presented, doesn't depend on that actually taking place or occurring.
That is our intention. I think that the coordination of the capital improvement plan, the five-year plan as it's presented, there may be some miscommunication on that. But what we would be recommending that you would adopt in the budget are those projects related to the stormwater that are funded through CDBG or through the Water Conservation Fund, but not through any user fee that would require voter approval.
Thank you.
Okay, so you're saying the budget is balanced without the revenue enhancements, and you will be looking for direction on which enhancements we would like you to pursue.
That's other correct. Than water.
That's other correct. Than water.
I'm sorry. Okay. I just have a follow-up for Ron on Larry's statement. Ron, he can help me understand this. On the first page of the transmittal letter dated May 26th, in the bullet that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 down, about midway through the paragraph, and it says, and a stormwater user fee would be required to offset the cost of enhancing and maintaining the stormwater system, as well as complying with the National Pollution Discharge Elimination System. I thought I heard you say that there wasn't an increase built into the budget.
That's correct. We are not recommending that such a fee be adopted, other than the fact that the council had indicated when we looked at the five-year plan as it related to utilities that there were certain projects that you wanted to see funded and wanted to see what the impact would be in terms of a user fee, but were reserving the decision of whether or not to impose a fee. And in this particular case, it's the logistics of how that would happen, because it would take a vote of the people, either a vote of the state of California or the vote of the people of Grover Beach to accomplish that. And we are not making the assumption that the council is going to decide either way on that, because as of
revenue forecast being conservative, so I'm glad to hear that. And I did want to say that for every department that went out there and made some hard decisions and made some cuts, I think we're very appreciative, because as I think it shows us that you understand the fiscal situations that we're all in and everyone trying to contribute. The question that I had either for Ms. Chapman or Mr. Anderson is, are the cuts that have been proposed in this budget, do they maintain a base level of service for this community, or do you believe there will be some potential impacts to the basic services?
Well, certainly when you eliminate a position in any budget, there is a potential of a service reduction. And I guess I would say that what we attempted to do was look at the situation, and as Gayla mentioned, in the police department, both of those positions have been vacant for at least 3 years. So on the one hand, if you eliminate a police officer position, you would expect a reduction in service. On the other hand, since we haven't had those positions filled for 3 years, in relative terms, it's not a reduction in service. We would be able to maintain the service level at least that we've had for the last 3 years. I would suggest that that question may more directly be or directed to individual department heads to let them tell you whether they think they can live with the budget that that we have agreed to propose to you.
Thank you. So I think with that, what I'm going to do is, since we do have some individuals in the audience who we don't want to keep late, can we move into the community nonprofit groups? Take that first, and then we'll go back to the start of the budget. And I think when we talk about departments in the budget, we start off with administrative services and move into city management.
Okay. So do any of the nonprofits wish to come forward?
Do you think so?
I
for them tomorrow. Oh, well, we're done now.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. I'm Johnny Biagini. I'm the executive director of the San Luis Obispo County Visitors and Conference Bureau. We have a couple of new council members here who may not recognize what we do for Grover Beach or for the county. So just briefly, we are the organization that is charged with promoting the entire county and all of the destinations within the county as a tourism destination. And we do so under the theory that I happen to think is a very smart theory, that if we pool all of our resources financially as well as the attractions that we have in this county, then we have a much bigger bang for the buck, and we have reasons for people to stay longer than just a day or a day and a half. And so far it's been very successful, and by pooling those resources, the dollars here in Grover Beach become a very strong marketing push to promote the entire county. One of the things translates to click-throughs to the members. And in Grover Beach, of course, we have members, and they're receiving an average of 300 so far year to date click-throughs to their websites. So those, in essence, are leads that we're generating to them. But probably the best statistic that I can give to you so far year to date is the amount of publicity that we've been able to garner for Grover Beach. That's something that we couldn't afford to pay for, and at this point we're looking at about $80,000 worth of advertising equivalency in public relations on Grover Beach. Publicity is important to tourism promotion. It gives people a valid reason to come visit. We're asking for a very small amount, again, to help us continue with this great push. Tourism is a very competitive industry, as you all know. The state of California has not been able to fund the state tourism, and it doesn't look like they're going to be able to this year again, and so we're kind of on our own out there, and we're doing all that we can to remain competitive. Are there any questions about what we do? Or
does anyone have any questions of Johnny? To my left. No questions over here? We would like, Councilmember Lieberman would like a guide, but there are no questions.
Four of those 300 clicks you got were me.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you, Johnny.
That means 2.5 less people will come because we're already here, right? So these five, half of them come to the county. So
no, just
can we afford to keep these?
That just means when you're traveling, you hand it out.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council, it's a pleasure to be here with you tonight. I'm John Dunn. I'm the acting president of the Economic Vitality Corporation. And the first thing I'd like to do is to thank the City of Grover Beach for your past support of the Economic Vitality Corporation. Without this support, we could not continue the important work that we do. The Economic Vitality Corporation is the only agency in the county concerned with the economic well-being of the county. Our more specific concerns are with the attraction, retention, startup, and expansion of business and industry within our county. It is our goal to create and retain higher-paying jobs within the county. Part of our job is to help you attain the economic objectives you yourselves have set forth in your general plan. One of the several items on my forthcoming work program is to work more closely with the people in your organization responsible for your economic development program. I believe that there is a lot more to be gained through planning together and working together in cooperation. Grover Beach has some excellent companies in your city. You do have land available for development, so therefore you have some very important opportunities. We want to work with you and your staff on further developments. It is very much appreciated by us. Thank you very much. I'll certainly be available for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. John. Does anyone have any questions? Okay, seeing none, thank you. Ms. Chapkin, Could you maybe talk about, I believe the proposed budget talks about moving the funding for EVC and VCB to redevelopment. Is that... Okay. Because I'm wondering if that we should discuss improvement area, the improvement agency now, or are we out of order here since I was going by the agenda?
Whichever order you would prefer to take.
Okay. Well, are there any other nonprofits that would like to address the council? Thank you. Okay. I'm going to get organized and get us moving in the right direction here. So let's just go back up to the top of this budget.
Wait. I'm sorry. But are we going to discuss any more of the total nonprofit picture or the requests?
Would you like to do that now or discuss that later? I guess maybe.
Well, I'm
that's
not sure if we're coming back to it. That's all I'm.
Well, I was hoping that we will come back to okay. that. We were just giving our guests an opportunity to speak so that they are not here until the wee hours of the night.
I'll bet they'd like to hear if we're going to award their requests or not. Then they can go home.
Okay.
They might sit here.
Yeah, silence is golden, right? Well, then, okay. So,
but I'm totally in favor of both of theirs, I can tell you that. But I would like to discuss the other.
Keep us in suspense. All right, then let's deal with the improvement agency. Do you have a staff presentation that you'd like to make?
Suzanne does. Staff. You can move it. Let's see. I don't know, use the mouse. Okay. Go for it.
Well, thank you very much. I was expecting a couple of hours later. Okay. More for the viewing public. Looking at this presentation, the first slide here is just really providing an overview to remind you all that we have two project areas in our improvement agency, and they include the downtown project area 1 and the south industrial area that we just established last year. Within the improvement agency, there are basically three broad functional areas of responsibility, and they include economic development, public infrastructure as it relates to the improvement agency, and housing through our 20% set aside. And I just highlight that all of these three major functional areas of responsibility do tie in directly with the council's goals for fiscal year 06. This first slide here just highlights the accomplishments of the last year. And you know that we've done a lot more than this, but we wanted to be brief to kind of support moving through the process tonight. At this point today, we have over 50,000. And that doesn't count the lodging rooms. That doesn't count all the site visits that we have ongoing. These are actual firms that are in the design phases for different projects in the community. Part of our effort for marketing West Grand Avenue has involved active participation with the International Council of Shopping Centers. What we put in this last year's budget was participation not only at the annual spring convention and trade show, but likewise the Western Division trade show and the Southern California trade show. And we have a database, I think, well over 100 developers and retailers that we are working with to maintain a relationship in that area. Right now we have 7 developers specifically that we continue to talk to about actual investments in this community, and we have an additional 3 to 4 that were identified from this last trip where actual field visits are being scheduled. We also completed the Buxton Community ID program, and we continue to work with our local community partners. For the fiscal year 06 work program in economic development, there are 3 broad areas that I want to touch upon, and the first is the Beachfront Lodge Conference Facility. This is a development that is considered the cornerstone of our revitalization efforts. It has been discussed in this community for decades, The progress we have made, as all of you that are on the committee know, is significant. And for fiscal year 06, what we will be doing is finalizing the state budget submittal for the state fiscal year 2006-07 year. We will be finalizing a JPA between the city and state parks that will be giving the city the lead responsibility for developing this process, this project. The committee is also talking about what efforts we need to move forward in terms of initial environmental work. And finally, a very exciting piece of the fiscal year 06 work program is to actually develop the RFP that will be used to solicit project developers to the site. And that RFP will be developed this fiscal year, and it will be distributed once we get through the state budget process for fiscal year 06-07. The second area that I wanted to highlight for the Economic Development Work Program is the facilitation of significant project proposals. I mentioned that we have under discussion and design over 50,000 square feet, of retail space. I think between 80 and 100 lodging units, not counting the Beachfront Lodge Conference Facility, and a number of multifamily residential units as part of mixed-use projects. Now, to make these projects happen, because, again, these are in the discussion phases, they are in the design phases, but for those to happen, there are a lot of things that this organization needs to be geared up to do to make them a reality. The PD overlay that the Community Development Department is heading up is in the works. Tied to that is the zoning ordinance update. We have money allocated for appraisals and property disposition. We are continuing to implement the Buxton study, so again, that we're able to link developers to retailers. And bottom line, it's communication, communication, and communication. We need to build these relationships. These developers have lots of. We have continued funding in the budget for the ICSC participation to continue the Buxton study implementation, to continue our local community partnerships, and to also support local entrepreneurs. Again, when you look at how the communities to develop, at least consistent with the community vision, we are trying to attract national retailers, but you also want to have that mix with your local entrepreneurs. Moving out of economic development, the two other areas that are major aspects of the improvement agency are infrastructure and housing. We have monies in the improvement agency budget to do the Grand Avenue storm drain design. We have money in the budget to do the strategy to finance, design, and construct utilities in the South Grover Beach industrial area. With the housing element being finalized, I believe, this summer, we will be strategizing to move forward to implement and start using those set-aside funds. That is an area that we've already been in discussion with a number of developers who are putting forth mixed-use projects. And then we will continue participation in the countywide housing trust fund. And with that, I don't know if you want to go through the Q&A now, but Mr. Anderson is the executive director of the Improvement Agency, and Jake Raper, the deputy executive director. And I was chosen to do the presentation because they'll be chatting a lot tonight with you.
Thank you, Ms. Bragdon. Does anyone have any questions on the presentation or other this improvement agency budget? Councilmember Ekblom.
I apologize. I'm frantically looking through here. I thought that I saw in there where there was going to be $70,000 spent on the hotel conference center, beachfront hotel. And I can't find it now. So it was somewhere.
That was
and I was
in
just
the
curious, what are we doing there?
Well,
cost that kind of thing?
Well, the money actually isn't budgeted per se. I mean, I didn't say that correctly. We wanted to have some funds available as different activities come up for the year. As I mentioned, the committee right now
it's
is a discussion.
Slush fund, I know. It's just,
I wouldn't use that term. But
it's available if we come up with something.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. The committee is discussing right now how far to go on environmental work as a point of reference. There will be some work, obviously, as last year's example, the Kaiser Marston study. That came out of a similar type of funding designation last year. So
where is it in the budget? I can't find it. I was so
in
sure
the capital section on page N11.
Capital section, okay.
What page was that, Gayla?
N11.
N11.
Does it show up in the redevelopment agency section?
It shows up in the capital section under the redevelopment agency, Fund 21.
So it's not in the redevelopment agency section?
It is not in that section. All capital projects and special activities are shown under capital projects and special activities sections.
It's in the cash position summary in the redevelopment agency section, but it's all lumped together as part of capital.
And I just wanted to maybe chime in here. I think it's... Susan's exactly right. We had the issue come up with the Kaiser Marsden where the state came in and said you need to refresh the feasibility study. So we've been able
to... The money is spent. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Lieberman.
I'm sorry. Do we have specific examples of what the 70 grand is going to pay for? Or is it paying for the constraints analysis that we already identified and things of that nature?
Actually, the 70,000 really is sort of on hold for things that could come up. One of the items that is on our agenda for the June meeting is to start talking about when the environmental work will take place and what the timeline is. So that was kind of what the 70,000. Last year, just as a frame of reference, we put 50,000 aside.
Mayor Pro Tem Versa.
Suzanne, there's a line item. I think it appears in both the Area 1 and Area 2. That's special activities. Can you kind of describe what that $300,000 is for?
I'm actually going to turn over to Gayla.
If you turn to the special activities section, 022, there is a list of about 15 different items. Part of it is Improvement Agency Area 1 repaying a portion of the water fund loan for the startup costs. There's also 74-4 that's debt service for the existing notes. Technology master plan for five-year CIP plan for ongoing updates, codification of the municipal code, cost allocation roll forward, PD overlay, zoning ordinance update, concept plan, appraisal and property disposition, and visitor serving specific plan. Well, that one was actually not recommended, the visitor serving specific plan.
Councilmember Ashton.
Yeah, I just found something here that she led me to it here. On page, I guess it's 018, under planning studies down there, I think it's 363, visitor serving specific plan. It originally was requested for $150,000, and it's been cut to $65,000. What is that referring to?
Okay, I'm going to turn that to the city manager.
What were we looking at? Jake Raper, Community Development Director. We were looking at moving forward with a specific plan for the Grand Avenue corridor. And we anticipated the total cost for a specific plan in terms of the details that we desired would be about $150,000, plus the environmental documentation. So what we have done is to split that budget over a two-year cycle this year and proposed for next year. So we'll look at coming back to the City Council for the additional monies to complete that. Should the City Council wish to go forward with a specific plan for the Grand Avenue corridor area?
Councilmember Lieberman.
Jake, maybe you can help me understand the concept of this specific plan.
Okay.
We did a visioning process.
Yes.
We're now in the process of doing a PD overlay.
Yes.
And now we're talking about doing a specific plan.
Yes.
And this is to allow...
Instead of three stories, but staying within the height limit of the zone district, those kinds of criteria, flexibility under the PD overlay. It does not really provide a true vision as to what you wish the Grand Avenue corridor would be like in 10, 15 years down the road. The concept on the specific plan is actually do... site layouts for specific project areas, parcel areas. Look at four-story buildings. Look at different kinds of layouts. Look at where you're going to put your off-street parking.
look at your signage program for the Grand Avenue corridor, create a unified streetscape along the corridor as well. So those are the tools that could be beneficial for the specific plan.
So without the specific plan, a developer could come in, take a look at the PD overlay, take a look at the visioning workshop, and just disregard those documents and say, I'm just going to build a box structured to code versus a specific plan. We're going to say we expect a more creative design.
The specific plan would really establish your criteria, your development criteria, what you want to see. Now, what you said earlier, the developer could not just come in and develop a box because the way the ordinance is set up is that it must receive approval from Planning Commission, and depending on how we structure the PD overlay, it may require the approval of City Council. So the developer will not be able to come in and just develop a box. If he wants to use the PD overlay, he has to come in with some unique architectural approval. If he should not wish to do anything other than develop it under the code, the way we're structuring the PD overlay is they still have to go through that process. And even if we design the PD overlay where they do not have to apply for that and utilize that, they still must receive architectural approval by the Planning Commission. And so if the message is strong to the Planning Commission that you want projects to be designed with the visioning project in mind and establish some kind of directive to the Planning Commission, that will give them a tool to say yes or no to a developer as they can. So we have existing tools. The specific plan will give you a true handle as to what you want to see along Grand Avenue corridor. Now, on the other side of that is once you adopt your specific plan and if you establish specific criteria, it lessens the flexibility of the developer in the city. So, you know, there's some pros and cons for doing that. And so,
Mayor?
Yes.
The other reason why staff was recommending this is that we had started on the path of updating the land use element. We'd gone through the three visioning workshops. Much of the focus of the response from the community was really related to the visitor-serving uses on Grand Avenue. And because of our situation with regard to trying to balance the general fund, and because most of the funding for the land use element update was from the general fund, we felt that this would provide the council with and the agency with an alternative way to begin existing land uses that came out of the visioning process. This would just be a tool to help you get there and not hamstring the organization because the general fund doesn't have the resources to update the land use element.
Thank you for that clarification, because I had it in my list of comments and questions. And one of the goals that we adopted was goal 1E, which was the completion of the land use element. And, those of you who know me know that I'm not real thrilled about the fact that we had the land use element funded and it wasn't completed, and now we're back talking about a specific plan. Could you talk about the boundaries of this specific plan? Are you talking the Grand Avenue corridor? Are you talking a certain direction? Are you talking fourth down to the ocean, Ramona down to Rockway or something like that? Or what, in fact, are you envisioning?
We envision the same area that the PD overlay on goes up to. I think it's 12th Street, one block north and south of Grand Avenue, all the way down to Highway 1. And it goes a little bit to the north, including some of the industrial area and some of the areas that are in transition, and to the south, where it includes the industrial area south of the train station, and then comes back up to Rockaway. So those are the general visions.
Because one thing that I'm very concerned about is that there have been community residents who live on Front and Beckett, and there have been conflicts between land uses, and if this is not going to address that issue, I'm going to have some real issues, some real problems with this, because we haven't done the land use element, and now we're talking about doing something that's different, and I certainly feel like my credibility is on the line here. So I just want to make everyone aware of that.
Well, if I, from a planning standpoint, I would love to see the city fund the preparation of a land use element update and an EIR. That would be my goal. However, as the city manager had indicated to the city council and the improvement agency board, there was a lack of resources to cause that to get accomplished. And this is a different kind of approach to further the city council and the agency's board's goals for economic development in this area.
Councilmember Lieberman, then I'm going to come to you, Councilmember Ashton.
I just had one last question. Suzanne, you mentioned the parking strategy in your PowerPoint, and it looks like I found it on N4 that it was not funded. Is that accurate at this point? The parking study is not funded?
I believe that's true.
It's in request, but not recommended.
That is correct.
So, I'm sorry, Jake, to keep picking on you on the specific plan. Would that include the parking study, or is that an independent project?
It certainly can be blended with the specific plan if we go in that direction. But again, the $70,000 is just the first blush. And it really depends on the type of detail and architectural treatment and standards you want to establish. You could probably do a very quick and dirty specific plan for $70,000, but I'm not sure if that would really achieve the goals of the agency or the city council. And so,
missing the $10,000.
If I could kind of chime in a little bit there, last year's budget we had $10,000 to do the parking study. When we went out to bid, there was or RFP. The cost I believe was $20,000-$25,000. And council direction was, let's try to do something in-house, not the full analysis. And so that's the placeholder that I was referring to in the PowerPoint presentation, because we can't just keep ignoring it.
So, but I see a line item in here for $10,000 versus $22,000 or $25,000 for a parking study. Is your intent that we're still going to kind of do a down and dirty parking study? Was that your recommendation when this was requested? I'm getting a yes.
Utilizing in-house staff, yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have, John.
Councilmember Ashton.
Yeah, Jake, I have a couple questions for you. I know they're going to turn to you. You seem to have the answers on these. On page N5, you refer to the train station study, and approximately, roughly rounded off, about 23,000.
That's correct, yes.
Coming up this year. I know in the past, we kind of came to a standstill a little bit there because the proposed suggestions from our consultant seemed to be priced way out of our reach there. It was in the millions, actually, is what to do as far as the buses to the west side of the tracks there. Mm-hmm. And at that time, we did agree, I thought, or the council did agree at that time, that they were going to do something about the ADA compliance.
That's
on the
correct.
Bus side, and I think SLOCOD suggested they would come up with a certain amount of money. To this date, I haven't seen anything done in regards to that. That's one of my questions.
Sure.
Can you give me an answer on that one? Or?
Absolutely. The situation is that we have about, as noted in the budget, about $23,000. And part of the, as the city council does recall, we looked at providing some money out of our ADA segment out of CDBG to fund the fund portion of the upgrade of the bus platform. Caltrans was going to come up with the other $5,000. We anticipated be approximately $10,000. When we had the construction drawings completed by our city engineer, the estimated cost was about $25,000. And so what Caltrans had advised me that they wanted to not to do an intermediate, but go for a more permanent redesign of the bus station and look at relocating it within the parking lot and bring it up to ADA compliance for that approximately $25,000. And so the Caltrans is working with our previous consultant, Wilbur Smith and Associates, to do that design for the bus station platform for its not intermediate, but midpoint, long-term relocation of the bus platform within the parking lot. And so they're completing that design now. As part of, they're working on it now. And once that is done, we'll bring back a report to the City Council. Now, Caltrans has advised me that with our money plus their commitment plus SLOCOG's commitment, they feel that they can get to $23,000 or $25,000 from...
The Amtrak drivers have ignored the east side. They've went over to the west side, and believe it or not, they can turn around in that thing. We've watched it, personally have watched it. There have been a couple of the franchise drivers there backed into the deal and went out, but there's actually ones that could make the turn. They said it's no problem at all. They need some of the bushes around there trimmed. It would be nicer if they widened the turn radius, which we indicated in our previous meetings there that could be done there. So it's not an impossibility. We may have to revisit that thing because their main concern was they're not going to drop 40, 50, or 60 passengers on the east side and watch them haul all their luggage across the tracks to a waiting train over there. It's not, it's, in fact, I think it's a violation of their safety codes as far as that goes. So you may want to look into that there about maybe we can get something going, maybe an additional grant from Caltrains or Caltrans there, mm-hmm. saying that your own drivers are doing it on their own there, that maybe we need to revisit that side. Maybe they'll give us some additional money. We can have another meeting on that.
Okay.
Any questions to my right?
Is that kind of direction or something? I hope we don't go through that exercise again. The issue was the buses pulling out back onto Highway 1 have to swing way out into the other lanes of traffic.
No, they designed it. They designed a method that would...
Well, how many times do we have to go through this same process?
If you look at the report, the study that we did here, that report was accepted. In fact, Jake, remember, it was I think it was submitted by Mr. Gross, I believe, and that was accepted as a possible remedy to the site over there.
Well,
it wasn't ruled out.
Well, okay. Hold on.
Yes, sir.
Is any of this discussion relevant to the budget? Is there anything in this budget that talks about retrofitting and getting the buses on the west side of the tracks or not? Okay. So maybe that's a discussion we can have another day. Did you have any other questions, Councilmember Ashton?
No, that's all.
Okay. Councilmember Eckbaum, did you have any questions?
You know, we're jumping around a little bit, so I have some on the Improvement Agency, too. Is that appropriate time for that? Aren't we on? We're kind of in capital improvements, but also improvements.
I think we are jumping around, and I had some. So, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. N11, you have an area agency 2, sewer master plan for agency area 2, and you're funding $28,000 total. $18,000 from this year, $10,000 from, I believe, previous. Is that?
The master plan, according to the city engineer, is about, seemed like it was actually $50,000. Mike, was that master plan $50,000?
$50,000. Well, I'm looking at item 326 on N11.
Okay.
And fund 25, agency area 2.
28.
N11, Fund 25, mm-hmm. Item 326.
Okay, $28,000.
Yes, and if I look back in your redevelopment agency area 2, okay. It's not listed anywhere in your...
The AAR for the budget, you'll see the department will have improvement agency area 1 will have an amount. That's the amount that is in the Improvement Agency tab. Capital Improvements will also show under the AAR for the Improvement Agency with a section for the dollars that are in Fund 21 for Capital, and it'll show us capital projects being administered by the Community Development Department or the Improvement Agency itself, actually, in this case. And also special activities that are administered by the Improvement Agency. There, what you see in capital improvements is not going to show in the Improvement Agency section except in the cash position summary.
Okay, except that in your Improvement Agency 2 on page S17, you have it listed as a work program. So it's a work program, but you don't have a funding source for it. S-17, it says, develop a strategy to finance, design, and construct utilities for the South Gover Beach industrial area. And I would have thought somewhere in your agency two line item budget, you would have that dollar amount.
Well, I think what we talked about at the previous meeting was first to complete the master plan for the South Industrial Area, then come back to the City Council once we get a engineer's opinion of estimate as to what that's going to cost. Also, I think what the city manager and the administrative services director talked about was the refinancing the bonds for the improvement agencies and looking at some funding to actually cause the implementation.
Okay, well, I'm just wondering, who's going to, is this project going forward and who's going to pay for it? Is it coming out of general fund?
Mayor, if I could suggest, if you look on page S7 in the improvement agency section of the budget, it's the cash position summary for the budget. We keep going to the N section or the O section of the budget. All of the activities that are listed in the N section are rolled up for this fund in the one line in this cash position summary of major capital. So that $19,000 corresponds back to the two projects that are listed, the $1,000 and the $18,000 back in the N section. The $1,100 under special activity, they correspond to the projects that are listed in the O section of the budget. If you go up a little further in the cash position summary, you'll see total operating expenditures of $142.6. That $142.6 you'll find further back on page S16. So that's the operating budget portion. The special activities portion is in the special activities part of the budget. The capital, major capital part is in the major capital part of the budget. And that's true of all funds.
I guess I have to observe
part of that funding cycle for the actual construction. So, and
all I want is not to hear a year from now that, well, it wasn't a light item, and so it was a goal to accomplish sometime in the future, but we didn't get to it or something. So it's okay. It's in the works.
The what the budget is trying to communicate is that we are estimating that we will spend $10,000 this year, that the city engineer will spend $10,000 because he's been given a notice to proceed on this project a couple of months ago. He is projecting that to complete the scope of work that we're talking about, we would need to budget an additional $18,000 next year to accomplish that. And that's how you get to the total of $28,000 to get to the place that Jake is talking about of being able to come to you and say, here's the scope of work, here's how much we think this is going to cost, here's the general design of the project, here's different ways that we can accomplish the financing of that. Do we need to sell bonds, or is there going to be sufficient cash flow in terms of tax increment in the agency area? Is there some combination of sewer money and agency money?
This was $10,000 was budgeted last year.
Right.
The $18,000 is this year. So, so we're in play. We're going forward. Thank you.
Okay. And so that will be in the CIP that comes forward tomorrow, hopefully. Okay. So we are moving forward, Dave. Larry, did you have any questions?
Right now, thanks.
Okay. I had some comments on this, and this gets definitely to improvement agency. There was a recommendation of $15,000 for a concept plan. Could you maybe clarify or talk about that, and then talk about, does this replace the funding that was used for the facade improvements on the formerly Knights Inn, now the Grover Beach Inn?
I can do that. Go ahead. Let's see. The $15,000 that is proposed in the budget right now for the concept plan is to do that pretty picture that we've talked about that kind of makes a nice visual from our visioning. And so you get an idea of having some mixed use, some visitors serving in a certain area. I'm going to use, as I look at the mayor, the San Luis Obispo map that we've looked at, just so you know what I'm talking about. Last year we had $35,000 as special money put in the budget to kind of move forward quickly with the facade improvement program that went to the Grover Beach Inn. We did not repeat that allocation of money. We didn't hear that type of interest from the council through the goal setting. So that's why you don't see another chunk of $35,000. We do have the regular $50,000 for the facade improvement program that has been in the budget historically, but we just didn't put in that additional $35,000.
And the concept plan would cover the visioning and it would be the entire Grand Avenue corridor?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And that I should say also that, you know, along PCH that's kind of going a couple blocks south and a couple blocks north, kind of that whole T area where there was a lot of discussion in the visioning. That's kind of what we were looking at.
Okay. One of the things that was in our goals done instead of the specific plan, because I was initially in support of the specific plan, but now that I know you're talking about stretching this all the way to 12th down to the ocean, to me that's not focused enough, and we will continue to do this in a shotgun fashion.
Certainly the city council and board can look at different alternatives, and a redevelopment strategic plan certainly would help you focus in on the financing and targeting various projects. Would not get you your design concepts that we've been striving for as the illustrations, what we desire in that area. There are some samples. I think the city manager picked up Atascadero's from their redevelopment agency, and they have a strategic plan that they have developed, and we have a copy of that on file as well. And it talks about their efforts encouraging reinvestment and land assemblage within their improvement agency area.
Okay. Because I guess I'm just thinking the design concept. I think Beach Place is a great example. I think the project that you've referred to as the signature project has some great architectural features. And I think Councilmember Lieberman may have been right on the money with respect to do we need a specific plan to really achieve these goals. So I'm really mulling that over.
Mayor, if I could, I think, as I mentioned earlier, one of our primary purposes for recommending that was because you folks had identified as one of your primary goals to get the land use element update accomplished. And because of where we were funding-wise with the general fund, it was, you know, it's a choice of other kinds of service delivery, basic public service delivery not being accomplished in order to get that done. We felt if we could propose some kind of alternative that might get us most of the way there, considering that the visioning, most of the difference that the community was talking about was focused in that area. If the council is comfortable that you have a pretty good idea about what the vision is and what kind of style and treatment you'd like to see in that area, having a strategic plan is certainly one of the elements that we would like to also see. You would have part of what is proposed in this budget document is that we have to take out the notes. We borrowed money in the redevelopment agency. We borrowed $2 million, and we have to refinance that into bonds or certificates of participation. Because of the revenue stream that we're now generating in the agency area, you could borrow more money than it takes just to pay back the notes. And with that additional funding, you could do not only the specific plan, but also a strategic plan. You could also stage those if you think one of them really ought to come before the other and put one of them in the work program for next year and one in the work program for the year after that. But you have several choices. And we're open to whatever direction you want to give us in that regard, I guess.
transportation, and they are advocating 10,000 residential units right there. And so I wanted to advocate that we rezone, change the land use designation to create this hub down there. And so that's why I'm concerned that when you're talking about the specific plan going from the ocean to 12, that we're going to lose a lot of the energy. And I would like to see us look from 5th down to the ocean and pick up some of the areas north and south of Grand and try and address some of the issues that have been brought forth by community residents. If we can do that, and we can also include parking in that specific plan, because I think Councilman Bleeman makes a very good point, and the concept plan comes out of that, then I think I'm okay with that. Now, do you think we can accomplish that for the $150,000?
According to the consulting firm, yes. And when you have a smaller area, it gives you the ability to get much more detail, too, and get your concept designs, your good illustrations and your graphics, and do those in-depth studies that you need to ensure that the infrastructure, which is your off-street parking, can be provided. So, and as you talked about earlier and as the city manager talked about, your redevelopment or improvement agency strategic plan, certainly how you're going to finance that, how you're going to support the reinvestment in the area, it would go hand in hand in that. So.
Because that's something you could include in a specific plan?
In terms of the financing program, absolutely.
Okay.
So,
I think I'd be...
As you know.
Well, I'm just trying to take in, and I don't want to dominate the conversation up here, but I want to make sure that if we're on board with the budget as proposed for the improvement agency, that's fine, but I wanted to throw those out there to say, are we okay with a concept plan that is in line with the visioning, which is 15,000, and then if we're talking about we're okay with the specific plan, which is 150,000, but you're saying 65,000 this year, and then we pick up the additional, the balance next year.
Right.
I'm okay with that as long as that specific plan is much more focused, and like I talked about, 5th down to the ocean and the areas north and south.
So, Mayor, the concept plan then would be more like up to 12th, but the focus of the specific plan would just be mostly the western end of that concept plan.
Yeah, I think the concept plan would go hand in hand with visioning, and you can lay out buildings and you can lay out potential parking sites, but when we get more specific and we're talking 5th down to the ocean and we go, if it's two blocks in each direction, north and south of Grand, I think we really target in on parking and strategies and financing so that we have a plan in place so that we can really say this is going to be our major focus. I mean, yeah, I certainly advocate downtown redevelopment, but to me, aggressive economic development means we sell what we have, which is the ocean. And I don't want to continue this shotgun approach. I think we need to be focused and we need to concentrate on that area. And that's kind of where I am, and I don't know how the others feel on that.
Mayor, I think most cities try and build from their center out. Now, the fact that you have some nice developments, the train station.
You're talking about a visitor-serving specific plan. How far to the east does the visitor-serving corridor go? We send the whole city's visitor-serving?
No, it's the... about 6th Street, I think. And I have to look at the map to see where the specific CV zone districts are.
Does something like that work for you, 6th Street? Because I think the other part of this discussion is Councilmember Lieberman was right on the money when he talked about the PD overlay. I think the PD overlay is going to include the entire corridor, and it's going to give people the flexibility to do the things that we're looking for.
I guess my main question is right here in this next block between 8th and 9th on Grand, there's some opportunities there that if something comes along, we want to be able to move on that just as much as we do on something on 4th Street. And if we've focused our energies on 5th to the ocean and aren't ready for a major project right between 8th and 9th, we're...
the CV zone district goes up to 8th Street. And basically, from a coordination standpoint and finalization of the project standpoint, should the monies be authorized and budgeted, before we go out to an RFP, we'd come back to the City Council and the agency and really talk about more specifics of the project and its boundaries, and talk with some consulting firms to really tie down the cost estimates associated with that and the strategy, then make a presentation to the City Council. And that way you can have a little bit more specific input as to what you want as part of that RFP. So, as a suggestion.
I'm just really reluctant. A specific plan will take you at least a year and a half to two.
Yeah, 2 years.
So this isn't even going to help us if someone came in between 8th and 9th and down through the ocean. So this kind of gets back to your initial question. I thought it was a very good question. And so before we budget for something like that, I want to be 100% certain that we're all comfortable with this, and this is really going to get us where we want to be, because I don't want to be back here a year later saying we budgeted this, nothing came of it, and we're still grappling with aggressive economic development. Councilmember Ashton.
Mayor Schultz, I got to agree with you. I think our strong point on Grand Avenue right now is the ocean down there. We need to develop that first, because if we get that developed and we get solid foundation in there, a lot of this other development along Grand Avenue, instead of us worrying about it, will actually fall in place here from the private enterprise and that, because they want to get on the bandwagon. But if we take the approach that we're going to try to develop the whole boulevard, we end up with a lot of piecemeal stuff, and you never really get your main end down there off the ground there. You need to secure that, get your TOT taxes rolling down there and everything else down there, and you'll find out that the other blocks will start falling in place, because they'll see what you have. You got something that's something you can advertise. Once you develop that down there, that way the people that see that, then they say, oh, by the way, there's a block over here on 7th or whatever over here. I think I'd like to put something in to conform to what's going on in the trend there. As far as the doing a specific plan on it, I thought we'd done a lot of
proposal that's outside of the visitor serving area, if it ends up being smaller. So a specific plan for visitor serving and the PD overlay can complement each other, and they're not exclusive. At least I don't feel
that.
That's
a good point. Yeah. So I guess the bottom line on the question is this something we want to fund, and do we want to fund it with some direction to staff on what the boundaries should be? I guess I'm just not comfortable with the point of funding and then going out later and saying, staff coming back and saying, here's what we've decided we want to do, and give us your blessing. Well, is everyone comfortable with the way it's in here or not, I guess? Is everyone that's still awake?
Yeah, definitely need a break. At this point, we'll be fun through with the budget review by next Thursday. at this rate that we're tracking. The PD overlay to me seems like it would address some of the issues and concerns that you brought up, David. I understand the specific plan. I understand that there sure is a lot of attention down there between the hotel project that we're making great strides for, the energy that's on both sides of 4th and Grand, the beach place. I mean, the property that's for sale, BJ property that's listed. I mean, it seems like everything's kind of falling into place for something to happen down there. So I definitely wouldn't want to omit that and follow it up the road. So I don't know if that's any kind of direction or clarity.
But you want to do a specific plan from 5th, two blocks wide, down to the beach, and involve a parking assessment there also?
See, to me, and that's been my confusion, I hear about all these plans,
mm-hmm.
and to me it's like, at what point are they repetitive, or at what point are they complementing one another? We need to do a parking plan. We kind of we gave staff direction to get it done for $10,000. It didn't happen. We're going to make another shot at making that happen. And to me, that's the downtown core to the beach.
I would have thought that the parking plan was more up at this end of town.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than between 5th and...
The folks that are going to develop properties down there in the 4th and lower are going to need to come up with some kind of parking strategy, right?
Well...
Based on density?
Yes.
So I thought I would encompass that as well. And then the concept plan that Suzanne was talking about, pretty soon I'm hearing concept plan, PD overlay, parking strategy, and I'm thinking, well, what's left in a strategic plan or a specific plan? So that's, I'm still trying to understand that technically.
Okay. Well, let's see. How do these things start complementing one another? And I do think staff, you know, just basically saying we're going to have the specific plan go to 12th and go over to redevelopment area and the concept plan may be the simplest way, but it may not be the most effective way. A concept plan certainly gives a vision based on the visioning session so people see that where we're trying to go. And it, so it doesn't have to be really involved. It's more of the pretty picture that you put on in the hallway mm-hmm. that when residents come in and they say, oh, that we like the plan and that's nice. The specific plan needs to go a lot. It's going to be the same.
Yeah.
And I think we have another specific plan that's taken even longer than that. And I think the real issue is if someone comes in tomorrow, we need to go by the standards that are on book today. And that's why the PD overlay is critical that we get that done, because right. that allows folks to go forward now. And so while as a planner I would love to do this specific plan, I'm not so certain that is it the best thing for us? Is it something we really need to fund? Is it really something that's going to start to implement everything that we want?
I'm in favor of planning tools that help us meet the needs of somebody right now that comes in, or next month, not 2 years from now. So,
Jake, you were saying the CCV goes all the way up to 8th?
Yes.
So if we said 8th down to the ocean, and then we look generally two blocks north and two blocks south, I just want to make sure that the area near the train station is addressed, and I want to make sure that the areas up on Beckett Place that have some land use conflicts be addressed. I was recently made aware of a business that was trying to locate in the city. They were looking in that area, and the codes on the books right now prohibit them from going in there, and they would have probably been an excellent revenue generator for this city, and the codes right now don't allow them. So we've still got a lot of work to do. So I think with that, I could support what's in the budget right now. And that would also include the parking that you talked about.
Which is right. in the budget at this point.
Well, I think $450,000, it could be part of that document. $150,000. Did I say 50?
$450,000 would be much better budget.
No, I said $450,000.
Okay.
I think the direction for that specific plan will be to look at parking, yes. will be look at phasing and financing. So it's in the budget now. Under
Mayor Schultz, the $150,000 was the requested. It was trimmed to $65,000 for this year, mm-hmm. just so that you.
2 year phase.
So, it'd be two
so that we're clear.
That's fine. Okay. So, Dave, you said you were in support of the VCB and EVC Absolutely. With the funding request. Is everyone else on okay with that? Okay. So I think we're done with improvement agency.
Already?
It's already? Good discussion is always the basis for public input and getting the information out there. So you guys don't need a break. We're going to just keep moving. I think the next section should go quicker, hopefully. This is administrative services.
Let's see.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. It's city management. Maybe in the future these could be done in alphabetical order. That would certainly help. So this is city management.
Our Honorable Mayor, member of the City Council, the city management department was dealt with in that election, as well as three council seats. We had an opportunity to conduct candidate orientations and orientation of new council members. We successfully conducted recruitments for new commission members and conducted orientation of commission members and assisted in establishing the new Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commission. We updated the Grover Beach Municipal Code ordinances by getting them codified and caught up with 4 years of that activity. We coordinated the installation, I should say Donna coordinated the installation of the new City Hall phone system and voicemail system, which pretty much works at this point. We conducted 14 recruitments and examinations, which led to the appointment of 8 full-time and 9 part-time employees and the promotion of 4 current employees. We negotiated a 2-year memorandum of understanding with the Grover Beach Police Officers Association, initiated negotiations with the Service Employees International Union and for a successor MOU. We recognized 7 employees for 5 years of service, 5 employees for 10 years of service, and 3 employees for 15 years of service. We negotiated an agreement with the City of Arroyo Grande for the provision of fire management and training services. We negotiated an internal water allocation agreement, which is with our gentlemen's agreement partners. We participated in the Beachfront Lodge and Conference Facility Ad Hoc Committee. Our goals for the coming year are, again, to coordinate the implementation of your community goals, to update city records retention schedule and relocate files to secure record storage area, to continue the process of updating the Grover Beach Municipal Code, and to implement new orientation procedures for members of advisory bodies, and to continue to develop Channel 20, purchase video production equipment, and upgrade the city's website to better inform the public. We also have a goal of negotiating agreements with the Grover Beach Police Officer Association and the Grover Beach Career Firefighters, and to negotiate a mutually agreeable extension of the agreement with the City of Arroyo Grande for the Fire Department Management and Training Services. Prepare and issue requests for proposals for infrastructure upgrade projects. And our work program will be to help you refine the community goals in March of 2006 to continue to participate in activities League of California Cities. I think both the mayor and council member Lieberman are on policy bodies, and all of the council members have been active in some activities with regard to the league. We would be renegotiating contract with AGP Video to continue to enhance communication with the community, facilitate the implementation of the community goals, and the implementation of the classification and compensation study, conduct recruitments and examination for vacant positions and in-house promotional opportunities, negotiate a successor MOU for SEIU in July of 2005. We talked earlier about reallocating funding for the VCB and EVC at the Improvement Agency out of the general fund, and we're proposing eliminating the salary contingency, $3,200, and reallocating more of the city manager's time to public works because of the kinds of issues that we have, particularly with regard to water conservation and water infrastructure improvements. In the general management program, very similar kinds of things. The contract project manager, $5,300 reduction. Meetings and marketing, $4,600 reduction. Salary contingency, $3,600 reduction. And reallocation of the city manager's time to public works, $7,800. Human resources, miscellaneous fees and services, $5,000. Salary contingency and education contingency, $3,900. The advertising notices, $2,000, meeting and marketing, $1,600, office supplies, $200, and again, reallocation of the city manager time to public works. And that's the city management budget. Be happy to answer any questions.
Before I move to questions, city manager, could you just kind of summarize what is proposed for the department expenditure summary?
Yes. If you look on page G2 of the budget, you'll see three programs listed there. The recommended budget for legislative is $190,700. That's down from $299,400 in the current amended. The general management proposal is $163,000. That's down from $180,200. And the human resources proposal is $169,600, which is down from $193,700 in the current amended, for a total of $523,300, which is down from $673,300.
Thank you, and that's reflective of the, is that also reflective of the 6.79% that I think you had cut from your general fund?
That's correct. Overall, the budget would be down 22.3% from the current amended, or 12.6% below what the budget started out last year before we added in the Measure O kinds of activities.
Great. Thank you. Does anyone else have any question of the city manager? Councilmember Ashton.
Yeah, Ron, you, I think you showed in your presentation that you reduced your costs over there 6.79% or something like that. How much of that's due to the fact that I noticed that you reallocated your salary, where before 75% of it was coming out of general funds, 20% of it has now been redirected, where only 55% is coming out of general funds. I think you put 15 on what utilities and 5 on something else and 5 on another there.
None of the 6 point whatever has anything to do with the reallocation of salary. The number that I was just mentioning, the 12.6% reduction from last year's beginning budget would include some of that reallocation, but the entire budget reduction exercise has nothing to do with the reallocation of time has nothing to do with that 6 point whatever it is.
We developed and presented the mid-year budget review for the City Council's consideration, completion of the fiscal year 06 budget process within city guidelines, provide city management and city council with financial and analytical support on various projects, produced an employee safety newsletter, and quarterly safety team meetings were held. We met the goal of sending out the utility bills no later than the 15th of each month, completed the utility rate study with the consultant and made presentations to the city council for its consideration, conducted a highly successful safety fair for all city employees. For fiscal year 06, our department goals include continuing to deliver a high-quality customer service to our customers and coworkers, assist with labor negotiations, process grant reimbursement requests on a monthly basis, continue to monitor business activity to ensure all businesses have business tax certificates, work with a consultant on alternative business tax certificate rate methodology, implement new utility rates as directed by the City Council, conduct quarterly safety meetings, produce a safety newsletter, and implement employee safety manual, production of the fiscal year 07 budget, assist in the preparation of capital improvement and special activity plan. Our work program for fiscal year 06 includes the production of the fiscal year 07 budget, complete the city audit, and submit the comprehensive annual financial statement to the Government Finance Officers Association, complete county, state, and federal reports as required, develop and present a mid-year budget review, assist with labor negotiations, submit grant reimbursement requests, work with consultant for business tax certificate alternatives, research alternative method of payment for city services, continually develop customer service enhancements, and quarterly safety team meetings, and biannual employee safety newsletter, implementation of the employee safety manual. Our proposed service refinements include an increase in various maintenance agreements for our financial system, reallocate 5% of the administrative services or the assistant administrative services director to utility billing, reallocate work study funding to part-time staff assistant, increase in maintenance of equipment, various supplies and service cuts, software upgrades, which we have in contingency. For utility billing, increase in maintenance agreements for our financial system, reallocate 5% of the assistant administrative services director's time to utility billing, reallocate work study funding to part-time staff assistant, software upgrades, increase in meter reading fees,
increase in maintenance of equipment, and for risk management, various services and supply cuts.
Thank you, Ms. Chapman. Would you also just kind of quickly go through the department expenditure summary?
Yes. For general accounting, which is all general fund supported, is $305,400 for the upcoming fiscal year. Last year, it was $305,200. Even though we made cuts, we also had increases in our maintenance agreements, which was the reason why you don't see too much of a difference. We have.
Yes. Councilmember Lieberman.
Thank you. Gayla, can you... I'm sure it's in the document somewhere, but can you give me the impact of this reclassification in the part-time employees in your department, what that means financially?
It is an increase to the general fund of $7,900 and a decrease to utilities of $1,100. The part-time work-study student and the staff hours we have for summer help have all come from utility billing in the past, but what we have planned for the person to help with in the office, we need to have some of the funds come from general fund. So it's basically a 50-50 split between general fund and utility billing.
I'm not tracking. You mentioned that there'd be an adverse impact to payroll in the amount of about $8,000, then an offset by utilities of about $1,100. So it's about $7,000 net increase. Is that accurate?
That sounds correct, okay. Yes.
Okay. That's all I have. Thanks.
Anyone else? No questions to my right? I have a question. This part-time position, would you envision this person having something to do with redevelopment, or would there be an opportunity for them to assist with accounting? Let's say the redevelopment areas 1 and 2 take off like we would hope they would. Would this individual assist in those functions?
Currently, what we envision the person doing is helping Elaine with the utility billing and also business tax certificates and doing special projects. So if a special project came along, there is that possibility. But at this point in time, there's nothing that we envision for the improvement agency. In the future, if the improvement agency does take off, there is the possibility of needing additional staff for the future.
Okay. Thank you. If there are no other questions.
Mayor, I just thought something.
Yes, Councilmember Eckmont.
I think... I don't know when it was that we started to focus on business tax certificates some more, and we hired somebody who we thought was going to offset their costs by the additional revenue they would bring in. Does that ring a bell?
No. Part of our accounting, our revenue technician's position is business tax certificates and utility billing. She does both functions. What we have done with the
business... I'm talking about the last year or two somewhere
we have not hired any new staff regarding business tax certificates in the last 2 years.
I think what Councilmember Eckbaum is referring to is when we added the customer service representative, part of that was to be able to...
For Elaine to focus.
Right.
That was for Elaine to be able to focus, and she
to
has
to focus
been
on it more to generate... more people applying for their business tax certificates. And I
right.
just wondered how that ever turned out.
Some of the things that she is doing is she looks through the newspaper to see the fictitious business name statements. If
her health problems, was that the person that was taking care of this particular item that you were talking
no.
about here, like utility building?
No.
Okay. Is that person back back in full command now,
the
or are we still retaining the services of a part-time?
The individual is back.
Okay.
Okay. If there are no other questions, I think that concludes the discussion on administrative services. Okay. Let's take a 5-minute break.
Rec.
Recreation.
Yeah.
Do you want to go on one of those? Tell me.
We're going to reconvene the joint meeting of the City Grover Beach City Council Improvement Agency. And what we're going to do is we're going to jump over community development and utilities, and we're going to go into the park and recreation budget for fiscal year 06. And I believe staff presentation is by Manager Petker. So you are on.
Mayor and City Council members, good evening. The Parks and Recreation Department, I'm not going to read the mission statement, but I would like to highlight that our driving force in our department is that we are committed to providing quality parks and recreation services and or facilitating information to customers. We have three programs in our budget. We have administration, facilities, and community services. Our achievements this last fiscal year have been the completion of the Parks and Recreation Element update. We were able to realize increased participation in community activities, including the Dune Run and the Holiday Parade. We've completed minor and major capital improvement projects with community development, including 16th Street Park and minor amenities. We were able to work with the city clerk and create the Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commission, as well as amend the municipal code. We were able to add new revenues to the master fee schedule. For example, our facility rentals to date are at $28,000, and last year at this time we were at $18,000. We were able to implement new programs, classes, and camps, including the summer concert series, which incidentally we've collected $3,700 in cash sponsorships to date, Cupid's Helpers, and Hobby Camp. Our goals are to continue quality public recreation services, implement the goals of the recreation element update, goals, policies, and programs, and implement capital improvement projects, including the Grover Heights Park Rehabilitation Project. Our goals also include amenities replacement throughout city parks with community development, grant management with the state, as well as any other local grants we can apply for, and to partner with local service organizations to provide additional activities and special events. And the pictures I'd like to highlight. New this summer, we are going to be beginning a geocaching class as well as a video production class. We are going to continue implementing progressive recreation programming based on trends in the industry, diversify our marketing strategies, including a utility billing insert mailing, and other various user-friendly processes to improve time and resources for our customers. For our facilities, we do daily facility and park reservation management. We continuously monitor the parks for facility needs in conjunction with community development. We manage the janitorial standards contract. We identify facility grant opportunities. We work on major and minor capital improvement projects. And we apply for grants, and we are planning on applying for grants for the skate park through the state bonds. Again, continue working with community development and capital improvement projects. And our work program for community services, which is a big increase in our and a change in our budget this year, is the continued partnership with the Chamber of Commerce and act as a liaison of information, which we do now, continue that process. That's daily. That can include 10% of the front desk's time in terms of answering phone calls. So where's the courthouse? How do I get to the beach? That type of information. And the transfer of trust accounts for special events. This was a big jump in our budget and line items that you will see. Trust accounts weren't reflected in our revenue generation from our budget last year. Now we have it added in as a line item. Proposed service refinements new this year is the opportunity to propose a farmer's market in Grover Beach, and I can go into details with that if you like. Otherwise, I'll go ahead and end it at that. Thank you.
I did have a question about that.
Councilmember Ekblom.
We could do it later. I understand you're proposing a $20,000 investment in that what is your plan and where is it going to be and what's the money for?
Currently, the woman who has organized the Avila Beach Farmers Market as a master's program, last year was her first year in implementing the program. This is her second year, and it is going on right now in Avila Beach every Friday. She basically has invented the wheel. Therefore, we would not need to create the wheel on how to implement that process in Grover Beach. We could contract services with her, and she would be able to come in, process all the permit requirements, work with the vendors, work with the Department of Agriculture, follow through on all the startup costs, the media promotion. Essentially, within 2 months, we can get a farmer's market up and running at Ramona. That's where our proposal is on Sundays is the best day that we've found in the calendar that is available in our area right now. So it's basically startup costs, contract services costs, and
is there offsetting income from that?
Yes, there is.
And is it equal to the cost, or is it?
Approximately 50% conservatively would be offsetting. And there is potential for more revenue. Right now, the Avila Beach is 10% of daily sales. So, and they use her services to help us.
So you're suggesting we could, if we were equal with Avila Beach, we'd have $125,000 in sales?
No, I'm just using that as an example. That's what they brought in last season in their revenues.
The individual people that come to the market and buy or sell things,
yes,
get that.
There's 20 vendors.
Right.
So all of the vendors as a total, they, through the 6 months, they collected $120,000 in.
But that's their money. They brought the product. They sold it. They keep the money.
No. If I can jump in here, okay. Do the vendors have to rent the booths from the, I guess, the agency or the association?
Yes.
Is that a revenue generation that one of the things you're talking about, generating revenue to the city?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I want to know.
Okay.
I just don't know. Is it half the, you're proposing a $10,000 income and a $20,000 expense? Is that where we're at?
I guess typically what's the cost for a vendor to get a booth? You've got 20 vendors. What's the typical cost associated with that?
I don't know that off the top of my head. Okay. I have an entire binder on all of it, but I don't know exactly.
John? Yeah, Councilmember Ashton.
Kathy?
Yes.
I thought in the past when this was brought up previously, way back when there, that there was some kind of restriction on how many farmers markets can be opened up in an area. That didn't the state have some kind of control over it? And I thought at one time that they pretty well depleted all the vacancies around here. Is there a vacancy open that we're going to fill in, or do we have some new hopes of creating one here?
Yes, that is the beauty of this opportunity, is that that is a different series of farmers market, which you're talking about. This, the Avila Beach one, is a newly created agency, and we would be an umbrella under their license. So we're not creating everything from new. That's why this is a good opportunity to come under the umbrella of this association, which is, that's the only farmers market they have. Their vendors don't go to other farmers market. They stay in the Avila Beach one. That's why these vendors are very interested in starting in Grover Beach, because they do want another opportunity to sell, because right now they're only selling on Fridays.
So what you're saying is we're going to be part of their deal. That's the only way that we can actually start a farmer's market, by
yes,
being part of their umbrella,
yes,
then.
When we were starting our research, we've been looking into this every now and then for the last 5 years. It has been that we needed to get on a waiting list to wait for an opportunity for a market to open within the county to be in the chain. And we've done follow-up calls and tried to get in, but now that this opportunity has come up, and the woman has presented this to the board at Avila Beach, and they are interested, which is why we're bringing it to the council now, because the opportunity that these vendors are interested in coming to Grover Beach, and the board has agreed to try this partnership.
Any other questions? Councilmember Lieberman?
So, Kathy, these are the same types of vendors. It would be the same type of theme as what you would see if you went to the Avila market, so a lot of seafood and
we can have flexibility, but bring that day. And that's where we're at right now with that idea.
Thanks.
Councilmember Ashton, did you have another question?
Oh, I had some other questions on Parks and Rec, but she, apparently I don't think she's completed her presentation yet, have you?
Yes.
I think you have, and I want to, before we move on, David, do you feel like you got an answer to your question, or is there still some confusion to my right?
Well, I'm not sure about the viability of it as an investment for the city, I guess, is my concern. If we're going to contract with someone else that has an income from it but it's costing us money, how much of a value is it to our community?
Okay.
And does that impact any gazebo weddings or other city functions that we have there if we have a farmer's market right there?
Okay, so we can...
So anyway, I'm not opposed to it totally. I'm just
so we need to have a little some additional discussion. So
yes.
Let's kind of get through some of the other questions.
Thank you.
The one thing I didn't have you do, is, which I had everyone else do, and I don't know if Kayla would want to help you, but to just kind of quickly go over the expenditure summary on page K2, highlighting last year's approved and this year's recommended.
Last year's approved in recreation was $343,500. This year's recommended is $330,900. Parks facilities, $76,100 last year approved. This year is $78,200 recommended. Community services, $65,400. This year recommended $105,900.
And so the bottom line is that the total went from $485 to $515.
Yes.
And that $30,000, is that the farmer's market and skate park?
Combination of the trust account items, which were $20,000, and then skate park staffing and farmer's market.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Councilmember Ashton, you have questions?
Oh, yeah. Back on K5, you talk about your departmental goals, and one of them is to complete the Grover Heights Park capital improvements. I think, wasn't there $160,000 allocated for it, something like that? Or I hear we're kind of running into a kind of a stone wall in that project. Is there any... sunshine at the end of the tunnel there, about proceeding with that there?
As I reported to the commission last Thursday, we did open up a sealed bid for the project. It was extensively over budget. We had proposed $150,000. It was over budget by approximately $90,000. We did revisit the numbers and the line items with the architect, and there were some significant discrepancies in their estimates compared to the bid that was proposed. The architect has agreed to review the design plans, redraw the design plans, propose to rewrite the estimates, and at their cost, no cost to the city. And we will be bringing that back to the council to reject the bid that was submitted and then request to go back out to bid with a new budgeted item. We did add more money to that project through the budget process. We eliminated a bathroom rehabilitation project, capital improvement project, in order to save 50%
of your costs, and that's probably the best, I guess, in our city. And you've got some great projects. Some of them I volunteered on. I noticed a lot of our projects that are really outstanding over there are usually ones that we've done with a in cooperation with our adjacent cities. Like we do some with Pismo, we do some with Aurora Grande, and they all entail the fact that we get a lot of volunteers to help out at them, and they've been highly successful. Easter egg hunt is an outstanding example. Every year we see like 2,500 to 3,000 people show up there. I don't know of anything else we put on around here that gets those kind of numbers there. And it seems to get better every year. The only controlling factor is the weather and that. And even when we had some adverse weather, it's done good. The other one I think was a great program. I think it's been going now for 4 years now, maybe five, was the mother-son dance. And that started out with we started out with 50 or 45 or something like that. And then each year we keep bumping it up. And I think this year we had something like 120 or something like that show up. same old faces plus a lot of new ones each time, and it's my understanding we could have taken in another 25 on that. So those I applaud you for. My only problem is you're requesting to take over the skate park, the operation of it, and the problem I have with that is whenever you hire or put a city employee in there, in that position there, the costs sooner or later are going to escalate what it's going to cost. I know you can estimate it's only going to cost you this much and you're going to save over the contract with the YMCA, but what's going to happen down the line for when we got to train this person? That's an ongoing program there. People deal with kids and that, and there's training programs that could run into thousands of dollars. What about vacation times, holidays? That park operates, one of its prime times is operate on holidays. Will we have to pay overtime to somebody like that? Where a lot of this is built in a flat contract deal, and we don't have to worry about it over a period of time. And one of my, as you know, one of my sore subjects over there has been that when we did have a group of volunteers over there, one of the strong recommendations of the volunteers was create a sign program over there. And to date, in 3 years, we've only sold 3 signs, and it's principally done because it was never opened up to the public to buy signs. I know there's several people I would say on this council right now would be willing to donate for a small sign over there. So we've only sold 2 signs in 3 years, and then we lost one of those persons because I think they went out of business now. And that money alone from the signage we computed out could bring in as much, I think it was $20,000 we figured over there, which would cover a lot of the costs and that eliminate a lot of the red tape involved. So I don't really support taking on this deal. I think there's other remedies we can do and still have the expertise of a body like the YMCA running the thing, because that's all they do. They spend all this kind. They have vast resources behind them there, where we have to keep getting ourselves up to snuff with them every time that we wanted to make a move. And that's why I think in the long run it costs us more money. I think what we need to pursue is some of the suggestions that happened in the past, and just get going on that sign program.
Okay. Could you maybe clarify the reason why you're recommending that the city take over skate park?
The main reason that our department proposed this process was because both of our agencies are very pushed in terms of budget. And this was an opportunity that we saw as to allow us more control in working with our staff, our part-time staff, being on-site with training, being on-site with safety issues, sign sales programs. So we feel good about this decision to propose to bring it in-house, as well as saving money. And the YMCA also has expressed support in that they are very strapped financially, and they agree that it's something that they can't afford continuing as well.
Thank you.
Mayor, I'd like to chime in. Hey, that was one of the most exciting things I've seen come up here. I was taking it back in-house. I remember that that organization sitting out in the audience here telling us how great they were at selling signs. Mm-hmm. They were going to take it over and really run with it. Well, they didn't run very far. So I think that doing it in-house is a wise choice for us. And I'm hoping that we generate more participation over there through that. But also that sign program, I agree with you completely, Chuck. We need to redo that so we can all buy a $100 sign and we'd all have them over there. But you are adding 2 half-time positions, it looks like. So it's going to be a total of 1 full-time position to your recreation department. And I thought I saw in here you were going to allocate 15% of a coordinator's time to the skateboard park. So the other 85% of the time is going to be available for other uses within your department. Is that?
Essentially, the position that Mike Twigg was in, since he has left, that position is the rec coordinator position. That person, 15% of their time will be allocated to overseeing the 2 part-time staff who will be at the skate park, which is the exact same coverage.
Okay.
It's the exact same staffing that we have right now, essentially sacrificing no holidays, nothing. It's everything that we're doing now with more control.
Sounds great. Good. Thank you.
Great. Any other questions?
Yes.
Councilmember Lieberman.
Okay. As you know, I'm always a little sensitive to user fees and cost recoveries, so I was hoping we could walk through an exercise here. Starting on page Q16, we've got recreation class fees. The full year 05 estimated amount is $150,000. We're looking at 06 at $180,000. You with me so far? I'm going to get my glasses on. I can't read this stuff. So I'm at Q16, looking in the middle section there. Recreation class fees. Full year 05 estimate, 150. The budget for 06 is at 180. Okay? Mm-hmm. Of course, when I wear these, I can't see you anymore, so I'll just squint. If I go over to the expense side of the house, and let me find my notes here real quick, page Q114, this would be account number 4370. I'm assuming this is the line item that gets paid out to the instructors of your courses. And what I'm noticing is
we're not competitive, and that some participation did drop off, and they did start trending down. This new proposal of our new master fee schedule for this fiscal year, some classes fees are lowered, some fees are staying the same, some are going up. We were able to individually review each item, but our projections are hopeful, and we're very positive that we are going to be continuing participation and increasing participation, but the payments that we have been paying to the instructors has decreased.
And you're still confident you're going to realize the $180,000 in fees?
At this time, we are.
Okay.
We're positive. We feel good about it. This first year in all of our fees in the master fee schedule, we were just so overwhelmed at how positive the facility rental revenues went. That was just amazing that how much more we are above compared to last year, even though we're not exactly where we were projected because it was so unknown, and we did start late into the fiscal year. But overall, the master fee schedule has gone well. But the bad news is that some of the projections are not going to be met this year.
Okay. I just have a couple more. Sorry to jump back and forth. Back to page Q20. This is going back to what Dave and Chuck were speaking to about the skate park. Up on the top section there, the total skate park fund. I see that your sign rental is almost doubling in projection. What's the game plan with that? Besides Dave committing us all to spend $100 with you. I mean, that's $500. Looking at the other $2,000.
These revenue projections were provided in January when we were still anticipating that the YMCA was going to take over the sign lease program, and that was basically the proposal that they would double our participation in the program. So
do we need a reality check on that, or are you?
I could take that down back to $2,500, but again, we feel confident that when we have control, we're going to be able to have increased sales in that program.
Okay, because remember the question I'm going to ask you before this thing's approved, right? Okay. And the last one is just kind of a global recreation issue that I've brought up probably for the last 3 years pretty consistently, in that when I look at the org chart for the city and all the department heads that ramp up to the city manager, I still see a recreation manager reporting with a bunch of director-level personnel, and it doesn't jive with me. It doesn't make sense. In the past we were saying, well, this department needs more experience managing capital projects, and the department's taken on those projects and has accomplished quite a bit, in my opinion. And I still would like to see Kathy recognized as a director identical to her peers in the city organization, and that's just something I wanted to throw out to get some feedback on. That's all I have for questions.
Well, let's see. Does anyone have any response to that comment? Councilman Rashin.
Not that comment per se, but I just wanted to throw something out. Back many, many years ago when I was a young man, I used to frequent our parks in our town, and we had ours set up in a different way. And I can't believe they changed that much since then. Instead of having your parks concentrated, say, over here at City Hall and everything operating out at City Hall, out of a room, finger in a pie, with the cell phones and the portable computers, they can take their work along with them and when they're not, they keep busy that way. But at the same time, Maybe we can encourage more usage of our parks there, like seniors. I like to see more senior deals come down the pike here. We know through our local school systems here that we have a declining population of kids out there, but we're having an increased population of seniors. And it wouldn't take that much to say have a coordinator over there at the park and open it up. And the seniors, they're pretty good on their own. They can establish whatever games they want to play or whatever knitting they want to do, and that as long as there's somebody there from the parks to open it up and keep them going along that line there. So I'd like to see a more active deal in our parks, per se, rather than combining all our staff into one location and working from that. I'm not saying that the staff hadn't done a great job. They put on a lot of monthly programs and that, but I'm talking about the day-to-day operations. I like to see it more in touch with the people out there at the parks.
Thank you for those comments. Any questions to my right?
Do you have some, or are you through with parks?
I actually had a question, yes.
I'll wait.
Okay, thank you. I think the since Steve has asked most of the questions I had, what I want to discuss is it looks like one of your goals for fiscal year 06 is to identify costs and a source of funding to complete the master plan for the Cleaver property. I know this is something that we've had some discussion on in the past, and we've taken some action. So are you anticipating having the master plan done this year? Have you thought about, is that going to include the property that the city inherited? Does it include any additional pieces, anything of that nature?
Parks and Recreation is planning on identifying funding, one, to master plan it, and two, to develop it, at least to propose grants or Parks Construction Fund for master planning. We are also planning on working with the city attorney in terms of the land and the acquirement and the issues that are happening over there, and he can address any legal items that are happening with that property. But Parks and Recreation, our goal is definitely to identify funds, master plan, and perhaps even start a phase one in that property.
Okay, so this does go beyond just identifying a source of funding. It actually includes master planning of that property.
Yes.
Okay.
And hopefully breaking ground in some small way, perhaps in a passive park.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that, because I think you may recall, I don't know if it was last year's budget or one prior to that, when we were talking about CDBG monies and we were trying to find a project to hang out, a larger project to commit funds to, we had talked about something occurring on that site. So I just wanted to make sure that even though we've probably lost some momentum, that we can restart it, mm-hmm. because there are other things going on.
We're trying not to overcommit ourselves to too many projects. Our first goal, definitely on a parallel basis, will be Cleaver property, but is getting the Grover Heights rehabilitation project complete and ready for use is a priority in terms of CIP in that aspect.
Okay. Yeah, I guess because the other thought is, I guess from the way my mind works, is to develop a master plan, and whether that's one or two alternatives would be good, whether that includes what the property is on now or if it includes property adjacent to it. And then we can identify funding sources when we have a good idea of what we can accomplish and not. So I want to make sure that we are not just paralyzed and not moving in any direction.
Okay.
At least mow the weeds over there. So you know how tall they are at the Cleaver property. I think our fire department must be warning us. But Steve, I'm missing your
department. And the presentation is by Chief Fiebig.
Mayor Scholes, members of the council, good evening. Thank you for allowing us to make our presentation tonight. I'm here to talk to you, explain the budget for the fire department. The fire department in the year 2004 responded on over 1,100 calls and had an average response time of 4.13 minutes. One of the things that's very important about that response time is that there is a national standard that has been established by grading organizations, by standard-setting organizations, of a goal of 6 minutes or less response time anywhere in your community. And what this average response time does is put us at a achieving that 6 minutes or less better than 95% of the time, which is something that's really very important to us in our ongoing goals. Over the past year, we've achieved a number of different things, such as the implementation of the Community Improvement Program, basically our code enforcement program. We've been involved in fire prevention presentations, and the most probably the most monumental was the implementation of the full-time career firefighters. And on the slide, we say that we're supporting the part-time firefighters or the paid call firefighters with our full-time career firefighters. Actually the other way around. We're supporting our full-time firefighters with the part-time, and I like to refer to it the other way. We are really maintaining a volunteer force or a near-volunteer force. They are paid called firefighters, which are paid a very small amount, and we're supporting those folks with the paid career firefighters, and that's just a fact of life today. We have many, many more paid call firefighters on our staff than we do have paid people. We have received a grant this past year through the FEMA organization through Homeland Security. We purchased all new breathing apparatus. You remember I came up here with an old piece of equipment that was somewhat antique and in poor condition. We have now outfitted the entire department. We have created a self-inspection program for businesses. And, of course, we've entered into a program with the Arroyo Grande Fire Department to share management services between the two departments. We continue to seek outside funding sources. We're working on our policies and procedures. We're calling them standard operating guidelines. We're working on that program, and, of course, we're doing them in conjunction in a correlated fashion between the two stations, the City of Arroyo Grande and the City of Grover Beach Fire Stations. We will be co-hosting Community Fire Prevention Fair again with the other communities around us. That's always a very big thing up at the Outlet Center. We have gotten, and I'm pleased to tell you that we actually have it in the fire station at this time, our new fire engine, our new American LaFrance fire engine. We've had a couple. I am merely the manager. The people that are carrying that out are the folks that are working in the station on a day-to-day basis, and you can see some of the areas that they're working in. We also have a work program for the year FY 05-06, and that includes our hose testing program. That is something that we must do annually to make sure that the hoses are reliable. We will be doing, as I said, the fire prevention fair. We will continue to do all of the necessary testing and maintenance on our equipment. And we have a weed abatement program, and you mentioned that there was a particular property in the city that was overgrown at this time. We have noticed that, and we're working with various property owners to get all of that taken care of throughout the city. The fire operations, and the reason I differentiate between support services and operations, you will see that those are two different areas in our budget. The fire operations program part of the budget provides for training, actual response, and development of our pre-plans that we use as we try to go out to the different places in response to emergencies so that we know what exists there. The 2004-2005 department training program provided over 5,800 hours of training. We did a first. We combined with the Arroyo Grande Station and conducted a state-certified Firefighter One Academy. That Firefighter One certification is a state-level certification that is recognized all over the state and is one of the standards that we try to maintain as a minimum. And we also offered some upper-level classes. You notice driver-operator classes and fire command classes as well. The work program for 06 includes continuing to work on our policies and procedures, or our SOGs. We are working on an engine company evaluation program where we will actually be able to take, instead of evaluating individuals, we will be taking companies of people and evaluating how they are able to respond to different types of emergency scenarios, what kind of times it requires for them to perform their functions, and things that are based off of national standards. We're also going to be investigating the feasibility of an Explorer program, and of course we will continue. We have set a very, very minimal goal of 2 joint training sessions with the neighboring agencies. That would include Pismo Beach Pismo Beach and Oceano as well as the CDF organizations. But we are doing that training, of course, on a regular basis today. Our fire operations, proposed service refinements. We're going to continue a hose replacement program. We have to do that because today. Some of our oldest hoses go back to the year 1974, and we believe that we should be replacing those because we're seeing increased failures in that. If we have a failure out on the fire ground, in spite of the fact that we test those hoses, it could mean the loss of a life. Certainly, it could mean the injury of a firefighter if one of those hoses burst. And we are hoping to purchase updated training curriculum material that will allow us to remain contemporary in the delivery of our service. And I commended $122,600. The fire operations recommendation for this new budget would be $593,500 for a total department cost of $716,100 for the year FY05-06.
And that's up about $17,200 from the FY05 approved.
Yes, it is. That would be about 17 or 18,000. Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
That put me on the spot. Thank you.
I know I did.
Rapid math.
Okay. Questions? Looks like Councilmember Eckbaum's got
a question. I had a couple there, Chief. One of them was right on that same page. If you go right back to L2, the 05 amended fire operations is $150,000 more than this year's. What was that? What does that entail? Or
if you look
the
down
738,967.
You look at the bottom of the page, the 163,000 for the grant that he was talking about earlier.
Fine, thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
One
Manager.
One of the other things was I was happy to hear you mention the paid call firefighters and their importance to the organization, because we haven't heard much about them since we went to full-time firemen, and I think they need to be recognized, and I'd like to hear us have an update on their activities and the number. And
I can provide that for you at another time. Yes, sir.
Thank you. I did go over and talk to Lynn, and on page Q139, which is your – and this goes right to the benefits question. And your salaries, full-time salaries, are up about 10% recommended for 06 over the 05. But the total benefits are up about 50%. And I was wondering if it's – that seems to be more than just the increase in the amount that the other departments are –
Well, one of the reasons I can tell you for sure is the increase in the PERS. There was a PERS increase in the fire department, and it seems like public safety was one of those areas that was always rather hardly, not hardly,
well, we saw,
rather
I think
hard
it was about 6% raise or something now. But your raise, your line 4059, total benefits, FY05 estimated 105,000. Now it's going to be 158. So it's a 50% increase, or $50,000 additional benefits. And I was wondering if that's
part of the
some negotiations or what's coming.
Part of the 05 estimate is that one of the full-time positions is backfilled with a part-time person. In the budget, we're still assuming a full-time person, but it possibly will continue to be backfilled, I believe, with the part-time. So there is possibility of there being savings in that line item for the future, but
This is the benefit package, not the salary package.
That would still anticipate for the benefits because you have no medical coverage that you're paying out.
Right.
Yeah, I think the area, Gayla mentioned it in the overview originally.
But if you're backfilling also with the part-time personnel when you have a full-time budget, you're saving on the medical benefits for that individual also.
And that's the cost savings you're talking about possibly being realized in this line item.
That's a very good possibility.
Well, your part-time salaries are going to be constant according to your budget here.
Right, but there's in the full-time, there are 7 career firefighters. Right. Currently, we have 6 that are full-time and 1 part-time individual. The training officer is part-time, not full-time, so we have the savings for that person's medical benefits.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions, Dan?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions to my left? Councilman Brash and...
Chief, yeah, I just have 2 questions to ask.
Yes, sir.
Nothing earth-shaking or anything like that. I commend you on that grant you guys got last year as far as the breathing apparatus and all that. One question is, I don't see any grants going for this year. Is it they're not around?
There are grants, and we have applied for grants, Councilmember Ashton. We don't want to predict any of those. I think that would send a false sense to you that we expected to get those. Those are we bend down and kiss the ground that the mailman walks on when he brings it in because it's totally unexpected. We don't know what our luck is going to be in getting those. They're very competitive.
So what you're saying is you are participating in programs, but you just don't want to advertise out there to jinx.
I'm more than willing to tell the city council and any of the citizens in the community that we are pursuing grants continuously. Good. We've got a number of them that we're seeking, but we don't count on any of them.
The other question I had is you mentioned here on L9 under your work program there that, and it's been an ongoing deal, participating in joint training sessions with our 4 agencies there. I don't see any mention, though, however, is there any possibility in the future that we expand our department that we have? We have 2 agencies right now in it, possibly bringing on 1 or 2 of the other agencies there. I know there's been some indication in writing by one of the agencies, and I'm a continually flip around and get on that Channel 21 over there, and I know the other people keep bringing it up at all their meetings about a possibility of looking towards us and that. So is there anything in the works possibility that we may expand our field of influence?
Who are those other people you're referring to?
I'm referring to Pismo Beach and Oceano.
Okay.
Currently, Councilmember Ashton, the city of Pismo Beach has, I believe that they have actually awarded a contract at this time to a consultant to do a study for the possibility of the creation of a South County fire department or fire organization, whatever form it might take. And whether or not that will happen, I believe that this city council, the city council of Arroyo Grande, has embraced that. I believe that Oceano has also reached out and embraced that from the sense of let's see where it takes us, and we'll certainly be interested if it would be feasible for us to all go together. And I think that has been the direction of this, of both certainly the Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach City.
Or actually, that's not the page I want to be on. Stand by. Q140, purchase of disposable medical supplies used for treating wounds and delivering oxygen. We're only dropping it $400. Is that based on actuals that we're tracking for 05, or is this just part of the cost reduction that you came up with for this line item?
I think pretty much it was a cost reduction that we came up with. As far as what we'll try to do is we'll try to be more economical in that area. If we're able to restock from the ambulance when the ambulance is there, we'll certainly try to do that. I'm not sure if we'll be able to achieve it, but we're certainly going to give it our best.
And then firefighter protective equipment, latex gloves and eye protection. We had some money approved last year. We have none approved in 06. I mean, the bottom line is we need to protect both staff and our patients. I mean, if it gets towards the end of the year, I mean, we're going to have to purchase these supplies. I mean, tell me I'm wrong.
I will not tell you you're wrong. What we have done in the past, if we get into that situation, is we apply for account transfers, ATs, to see whether or not we can't get some money that maybe has not been spent in another area and apply that.
Okay. Thank you. The other, just an observation, fuel costs surprises me because it's running pretty flat from 05. I know my wife's about ready to kill me based on my gasoline bills for my business. I mean, how can we have an assumption that fuel costs are going to be flat from 05 to 06?
That's a very good question.
That's on page Q141, line 4270.
Are you waiting for a response from me, Councilmember Lieberman?
Yeah, I need some help.
I think what we will end up doing is what we are doing right now. We're at the point right now in the existing, in the present year budget, where we've had to start to do account transfers, and we will probably end up doing that next year also to specifically to meet the fuel needs of the department.
My concern is when you start doing account transfers, you're starting with a very lean program before your cuts. You as a department head, finance as that organization, and us as a council, we need a really clear picture of what these actuals are. And account transfers, I hate to muddy the real picture of what's going on. So I just wanted to point that out to everyone as I'm a little perplexed about how fuel is going to stay constant. One of the larger questions I have is on page Q142 in the contingency line item, training, $12,800 requested. None of it got carried over to the recommended column. I'd like to know what that is.
As you know, since we've become a career fire department with paid personnel, if you have to bring the people in off-duty, during their off-duty time, to provide any kind of training, to have any kind of meetings, even simple things like staff meetings, they are entitled to be paid at a at an people to come in for that training. Now, that training certainly is, you know, something that they're going to end up missing if they don't come in for that.
So, I mean, just based on my limited experience, if an employee that's a salaried employee entitled to overtime came to work where I work voluntarily for a mandated training or a recognized training, we would be in violation of FSLA-related issues. That employee's entitled to compensation.
Yes, that is correct.
So how can we have people, whether they're PCF or full-time folks, missing training? I don't understand how we can, first of all, not have it in contingency and not have it in alignment at all. I mean, this is required, mandated training that these people are missing because they can't come voluntarily and we can't afford to pay them.
Councilmember Lieberman, I certainly agree with you. All I can say is that with the goals that we set to try to reduce the percentage goals that we set to try to reduce our budget by, that was there. It was very, very painful for certainly for the fire department as well as for the other departments, and we did not have that particular line item this year to allow for that, the present year that we're in, and we had projected it for next year, and we basically had to take it out. So this year and next year, we will not be able to provide that training.
Okay. I just think it's troubling from a liability perspective that if something happens to this off-duty crew when they're on a later shift and they go back and they look at our training records and say, this incident that caused liability to the city of Grover Beach was covered in a training. These folks were not in attendance because budget precluded them from being compensated. I don't know how we're going to fare with an issue like that. And I truly believe that this has got to be reconsidered. It's just, I'm grasping to understand that. Let me just finish up. I have three more things.
Okay.
Chief Dembolone, equipment purchases, it says 35-foot ladder. I know there was one when I was on the department. It was key in certain aspects, like 200 South 13th. What's the status with? Is that ladder broken?
That ladder that was on that was here when you were on the department was damaged over the years. Once we did a good survey of the equipment at the time that we started to bring the two departments closer together, we decided that that ladder was unsafe. We had a ladder firm that does inspections look at that ladder. They said put it out of service. So we did put that ladder out of service. It is not repairable, and we brought a ladder over. We had a spare ladder over in the Aurora Grande station that we put on the engine. So we're running with that spare ladder right now.
Will the new engine have a 35-foot ladder on it?
The new engine does have a 35-foot ladder on it, and I have some other options, I believe, as we work with our fleet that we may be able to replace that an additional 35-foot ladder.
We appreciate Aurora Grande letting us borrow equipment.
I know the fire chief over there.
Yeah. Is it somewhere else?
It is not. It is in the capital under the request. We did not have the money to fund that, so it remained in the request column unfilled.
Okay. So at some point before the budget, it will be after the budget is adopted, do you think you're going to come forward with a recommendation to us and we're going to have to reprioritize potentially capital plan?
Chief and I spoke this evening for the first time about his findings.
Oh, he went?
Yes.
Okay.
And indicated to him that what he wanted to bring that to the council on the 20th to get your guidance about whether you want to move forward with that. And the appropriation would be an appropriation that would happen in fiscal 06, because he wouldn't be able to take possession of the vehicle until at least September or October, something like that. The concept would be that if you give us a thumbs up on the 20th, then we would figure out a way to fund it within FY 06 or give you recommendations for that.
Okay, thanks. Last one, I promise. Community goals. If you look at the community goals that are in the beginning of the budget document, sorry, guys, I actually read this thing. Community goals. When you get to the 06 goals, page C13, item 1B, fire services. Extend agreement with City of Aurora Grande and review compensation of the fire chief. Now, I know throughout the budget document we're referencing these 06 community goals on a lot of the capital items, especially. Yet I don't see in fire any reference to this goal. And being a sitting member of the Oversight Committee, I think Aurora Grande is very pleased with the agreement as it's moving forward. But it's important for us to note, and I feel I brought this up before, is our part of the bargain was we were going to get a fire chief, but we were going to provide an administrative captain that would train both agencies and also provide overtime backfill to both agencies. So, for example, a captain in Aurora Grande goes on vacation. That person's not backfilled within the Aurora Grande organization, and they incur overtime. The administrative captain would go work that shift. Obviously, as you've heard from Gayla, our administrative captain's working on a contract or hourly basis. So I feel that we're not holding up our side of the bargain. And as we go forward to continue this operating agreement, I think we need to show our colleagues in Aurora Grande that we appreciate Chief Fiebig's assistance, and we need to follow up with that community goal 1B and compensate him for his investment here. Obviously, we've had salary savings because we had a full-time administrative captain that we didn't fill, along with benefits. I would think that Aurora Grande's had an overtime expense that they wouldn't have incurred if we had a full-time administrative captain. So I feel there's a way to calculate a number, and I feel as though that has a place in the budget to satisfy.
The concept would be that we would do that during the month of June and have something in place before the current agreement expires on the 1st of July.
Okay. I appreciate that. I think the boundary drop was part of the original deal, too. And I know I said I was done, but, Chief, where are we at with the boundary drop?
Boundary drop is the one weak link in that is we're still working on one weak link in that and anticipate that we should potentially have it by July 1st, by the start of the new fiscal year.
And can you explain to the council briefly what the boundary drop means?
The boundary drop is what we have traditionally observed as a jurisdictional border between the communities, and one station responds up to their border, the other station responds up to that border without ever crossing over on what we call a first alarm assignment or a primary response on that call. If you look at the actual distances traveled between the fire stations, between the Arroyo Grande Fire Station and the Grover Beach Fire Station, that jurisdictional border is not the halfway point. The halfway point is actually about at Briscoe and Grand Avenue. So what we are doing is we are redrawing, for purposes of response, a response district that would involve Elm Street and everything that would be west of Elm Street within certain north and south boundaries would be responded to by the Grover Beach Station, and everything that would be on the east side of Elm Street, actually including Elm Street, including both sides of Elm Street, would be responded to from the Arroyo Grande Station. And it is not just a matter of saying today that we're going to start doing that. There is coordination that has to be maintained with the dispatch agency over in Arroyo Grande, because they are the ones that have to mentally make that check every time and go, oh, this is within that certain area. And they have part-time people over there. They have a dispatch supervisor that right now is off on an illness. And so to make that, I'm not willing to put that on a situation that is already overloaded, and I'm trying to do that very sensitively so that we don't want a mistake. So that's where we are with the dropped
great
border.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
I have a couple of questions.
Oops.
And I think Councilman Rubin, he's definitely done for now. No threat. I do want to ask you the question that I had asked the city manager earlier, and he suggested that I ask the department representatives. And this is when I had talked about, you know, we applaud the effort to cut and do some cost savings wherever appropriate, but I want to make sure that the recommended cuts do not jeopardize or that they don't have an unintended consequence or impact on basic community services. And I know I'm putting you on the spot, but I just definitely have to ask you the question, because I think Councilmember Lieberman pointed out the training and potential liability. So,
Mr. Mayor, it is putting me on the spot, because there certainly are. You may or may not remember when this concept of starting a paid career fire force in the city of Grover Beach was brought to you by Chief Hamp. I believe that it was portrayed in such a way that would give you an indication that this was a starting point. Well, when you take a starting point and then you go backward from there, there's going to be some things that just don't get done. And certainly, you know, you've got a very, very loyal force, extremely loyal force, and they're going to do everything that they can to make that work. As a department head, I'm going to do everything that I can to work with the other departments, because I think that every one of the departments here has been very valorous in making the cuts and the making the attempts of making things work. And I hope that gives you an answer.
It's an answer. Thank you. The second question, and I do want to I do certainly want to say to not just staff, but to Ms. Chapman and Mr. Anderson, that we appreciate you making the hard choices in where we cut this year. But I do want to ask the question, as I see in the transmittal message, we talked about general fund anticipated revenues at $7.1 million thereabouts and expenditures at $5.7 million. So I'm curious to know if we were to add back in the $12,800 for the training, which is what Councilmember Lieberman talked about, is that a substantial change in the budget? Is that something we can do and not have to go into areas like reserves or anything of that nature?
If you look at page F7 on the cash position summaries, down where we have our contingencies, basically we have our 5% contingency for our general contingency, our 10% general reserve, and our 5% emergency reserve, which is our 20% contingency policy that the city has. We put $20,000 that we were not sure if we are going to get or not into a state budget crisis reserve, and we put an additional $424 into there, which would have been showing in the ending balance column if we had not moved it up to the state budget crisis reserve, which is what we've done in the past. Anything that's been left over from expenditures from versus revenues, mm-hmm. we've moved to the state budget crisis reserve for the past few years. So basically, our budget is balanced by $424. That's it.
We should point out, Mayor, that you have adopted financial policies that require us to present a budget to you that includes those reserves that Gail was talking about. And in addition, that the budget be balanced where ongoing resource or ongoing revenues cover ongoing expenditures. And the general fund does that. There is a surplus in that number of about $118,000, and that number can be found on page E4 for those of you following along in the budget document. And so you have some competing goals to that 5% number fairly significantly. Since I've been here, we haven't gone into the general reserve or to the emergency reserve. And so theoretically, if you wanted to add back something and take it out of, say, the emergency reserve, as long as you don't exceed $118,000, you're staying within that very fundamental concept of having a structural budget that's in balance. The structure of your budget, your ongoing resources are covering ongoing expenditures. So you do have some flexibility to do that. It would not be consistent with the adopted financial policies, and so we did not present it to you inconsistent with the policies you've given us direction.
So if I understand you correctly, then let's say this reserve fire engine that we've been talking about, that might be something that would be appropriate.
That's a one-time cost.
Right.
And so using one-time reserve for one-time cost is entirely consistent with your policies.
Okay. So basically the bottom line is that if we wanted to add back the $12,800 for the training, then we need to look at another item that's in the general fund and reduce it by that amount. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. And also, just for your information, revenues over expenditures in general, including this year's budget, is decreasing the amount of cash reserves that we have over the last 3 years by over $1 million with the amount of reserves we have spent down.
Okay.
So this is the lowest amount of reserves that we have had.
But things are happening in the community, good things.
We're spending money.
Did you have a question?
That training thing is intriguing, but isn't there a way of working some comp time so that the perhaps a paid call firefighter could work a three-hour shift for one of the paid firemen so that they could attend a three-hour training session Tuesday nights? I mean, isn't there some...
The problem with that is that you pay in the end because you have to cover the shift for the person when they take their comp time off. So, and comp time is a time and a half, so it ends up being the same thing in the long run. The other point
the paid call firefighters that are earning $9 an hour
when they're working.
Terry, do you cover your captains with PCS?
The captain's position is rather difficult to cover with a paid call firefighter. The engineer is sometimes able to be done. It all depends on scheduling, and one of the unfortunate things is if you give someone comp time and they continue to build a bank of that council member, they usually want to spend that, and they want to be able to spend that somewhat predictably. They want to say, I'd like to take next Friday night off on comp time if I could. I came in on your training on your schedule. Could I please project some time off for next Friday night so I can go out with my family? Qualified PCF up as an engineer. We have some that are driver operator qualified, but again, there are many times that no one is available to do that, or no one is qualified to fill the role that we need to fill.
It seems like if you said to a full-time paid firefighter that part of his job is to attend state-mandated training sessions certain Tuesday nights. And then sometime during that the same week, he will be relieved for 3 hours comp time at whenever we can find somebody.
We're in a constant flow of trying to arrange staffing vacancies right now, and it's difficult at best. It's very, very unpredictable to be able to do that. While in theory, it certainly appears that it would work, but we're at the mercy again.
Kind of intrigues me how this happens with the police department, for instance. How do they, if there are certain classes that they have to meet during the year that are state mandated, how do you do it when somebody's working the shift that the class is on there? It doesn't seem like it's uncommon occurrence.
It's not uncommon. The difference is that in order for one duty station to be covered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you need about 3.5 people to cover one. Okay. And we're budgeting 3 people.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Wait, before you leave, sir, do we want to give any direction, or are we? Steve, I know you had some items that you wanted some dialogue on. Are you satisfied with what's been discussed here, or do you want to?
I'd like to give clear direction to restore that overtime and without touching the reserves come out of capital or somewhere else that staff comes up with. But I think at this juncture.
Out of the fire department? Is that?
I think they've already caved. I can't remember what their total costs were. It was in that first presentation.
Well, you're proposing additional expenses for the fire chief and the training. So you're in the, I don't know, $20,000 range that you want to have us reduce some other costs in the fire department to recover that? Is that what you're?
Oh, you're saying, oh, is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm asking.
Mayor Scholz, I do have a suggestion.
Yes.
Since we are backfilling the seventh person with a part-time individual, there should be enough salary savings to cover that item so that we don't have to hit the rest of the general fund or hit any other departments.
The mandatory training.
Mayor, I was going to direct council's attention to the bottom line on page Q142. If you look at the amended budget in the fire department, it's $575,000, and the estimated is $544,000. And if you go back up into the salary section, you'll see. And so that's ongoing revenues. That's $126,000 a year. So,
but this should all come up in negotiations in June. Is that what you were talking about
with
Oro Grande?
Yes.
And discussions over fair compensation back and forth.
Right. And as Terry mentioned, and Councilmember Ashton mentioned, there also is the study that this city of Pismo Beach is sponsoring, and one of the elements of that the city manager level folks have insisted on is that we look not necessarily at a whole hog kind of thing, but if there are targets of opportunity for being able to share, that we want to definitely look at those things and not get into perhaps where we got into with the police consolidation thing, where we lost a lot of opportunities that could be significant, particularly for Grover Beach, because our budget numbers are so much smaller. So there may be potential savings that could occur out of that study during the course of the year that would give the fire department a lot more breathing room without having to rely on something like a South County Fire District or something like that.
Good.
Thank you for those comments, both of you. I think for me, I was thinking in terms of the mandatory training, the 12,008, understanding that you'd be talking about the other goal of the compensation for the fire chiefs. So if we could at least have back the 12,800 for the mandatory training without impacting the rest of the general fund, I think that would be something that I would support.
I think what Gayla is suggesting is that we would recognize during the course of the next fiscal year and have her specifically cost out what the administrative captain, instead of costing it out as if it's a filled permanent position, cost it out in the current situation and see if we can identify the 12.9 or whatever, and then if we can, just bring that adjustment back to you.
That'd be good. And I do also want to go on record as saying I agree with your comment on the fuel costs, because I know that in dealing with on the SCAT board and the RTA, you know, there has been assumptions of an increase in fuel costs. So that's certainly something we should keep an eye on. Are there any other comments on fire? Steve, does that address the majority of your comments?
You told me no more comments.
No. You don't get to hide behind that one.
Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. Because we do appreciate the effort of the fire department, and we knew it was a big commitment when we approved that. It's 10:14. And what I'd like to do is, I don't know how everyone feels up here. Do you feel like we've made substantial progress on this budget tonight? Is there something, can we continue the other items to tomorrow and get through this entire document?
We've done half of them.
Another one guy left.
Record and kind of ask you where we think it might be appropriate. Okay, so I think we are done for this evening. We will begin tomorrow at 6:30 on police department. Do we need a motion or can we just continue this till tomorrow? Okay. With that, we are adjourned.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So we did 5 departments. We have 6. We didn't do half of the department.